I guess. That's right. All right. Thanks, everybody. The board clerk will please call the roll.
Dr. Bombs? Mr. Della Torre? Mr. Eisenhut?
Here.
Supervisor Fletcher?
Here.
Senator Flores? Assemblymember Garcia? Supervisor Joya?
Here.
Ms. Mitchell?
Here.
Senator Monning? Mrs. Rudin?
Here.
Supervisor Serna? Dr. Sheriffs?
Here.
Professor Sperling? Ms. Takvorian? Vice Chair Berg?
Here.
Chair Nichols?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you very much. Let me just make a couple of initial announcements before we actually get underway here. First of all, if it's the interpreter here, I want to make sure that everyone knows that we have interpretation services available in Spanish, and that headsets are available at a table over near where the public entered this room. They can be picked up at any time that people may want them. However, the interpreter should be here to say that in Spanish. Say what I just said in Spanish into the microphone.
Pardon me, ma'am. I believe the interpreter in the booth was interpreting that portion.
Oh, all right. Sorry, I wasn't aware of that. But
could you please repeat that for the interpreter at the podium?
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I will repeat what I just said. Interpretation services will be provided today in Spanish. Headsets are available at the attendance sign-up table.
Y en la mesa de asistencia están disponibles los aparatos receptores.
And can be picked up at any time.
Y en cualquier momento pueden ir a tomar el que necesiten.
Thank you very much.
Muchas gracias.
Okay, for safety reasons, please note that the emergency exits here are on either side, and there's also an exit behind me. In the event that we get a fire alarm and have to evacuate the room, we need to go out of the building until we hear the all clear signal. That seems pretty obvious. Anyone who wants to testify, please fill out a form, a request to speak form. These are also available at the entrance to the room, and turn it in to the board clerk who is over here, just so we can get a list of all the people who are planning to speak. Speakers should be aware that the board imposes a 3-minute time limit. We appreciate it if you state your first and last name when you come up to the podium, put your statement in your own words, and if you have a written statement, please don't just read it, but speak in your own words, and your written statement will be in the record. We have only one item today. And I think I can speak for everybody from the ARB who says that we're excited to be here and want to thank everyone for the very warm welcome that we have received here in this community. Our agenda item today is to consider the AB 617 Community Air Protection Program, the Community Emissions Reduction Program for the El Centro, Heber, Calexico Corridor. The Community Air Protection Program provides a focused approach to improve air quality and public health in communities that have been disproportionately burdened by unhealthy levels of air pollution. Last year, this board selected the corridor of El Centro, Heber, and Calexico for development of a community emissions reduction program as one of 10 initial communities to launch this program. Earlier today, we were able to meet with some residents of the community, to tour the community with a number of them, to see and hear about some of the issues that the community faces, air quality as well as others. And some of us also have the wonderful opportunity to actually fly over the Salton Sea. That was truly a remarkable experience. We know that the impacts of the receding shoreline are of significant concern to residents of this region, as well as to others, including people who know and care about the Pacific Flyway and all natural resources issues throughout the state and the country. But action before the Salton Sea is not before the board this day, today. We have no specific item before us, and therefore we won't be able to actually do anything to direct action, but I think we will be hearing from many people about their concerns, and I'm sure we'll hear some suggestions as well, and we will take note, and we are going to be considering how to respond. That being the case, I think we need to take advantage of an opportunity to learn. And so I have asked the staff, as part of their presentation, to give us a short summary of the situation, including what's in the governor's budget that was released last week for the Salton Sea. But before we get started, I also want to note that because this item is a little bit different from our normal regulatory proceedings, we're also structuring our discussion differently. First of all, before there's public comment, we will hear from the Imperial County Air Pollution Control District, as well as community members and staff who have been involved in the creation of this Community Emissions Reduction Program, which is known by its title, Year One Community Emissions Reduction Program Plan for the El Centro Heber Calexico Corridor. So, at this point, I would like to introduce Matt Desert of Imperial County Air Pollution Control District and co-chair of the Community Steering Committee.
Thank you very much, Chair Nichols, and it is a pleasure and an honor to have you, as well as the California Air Resources Board, represented today for the first time here in Imperial County. I've got a list here of items I'd like to read into the record. We've worked on this together with CARB staff and with CCV staff.
Sure.
And make sure that we document the success that we've had of experience so far and the future successes we're looking forward to. Imperial County is located in southeastern California. It is a primarily desert region which shares an international border with Mexico. The Imperial Valley runs approximately north to south through the center of the county and extends into Mexico. The portion of the valley just north of the U.S.-Mexican border contains the El Centro Heber Calexico Community Corridor. The population of Imperial County is approximately 170,000, while the population in the corridor is approximately 100,000 above that each day due to daytime and nighttime traffic originating from Mexicali. Not in the notes is the population of Mexicali itself. Which is close to 1.5 million people, between 1.2 million and 1.5 million people is what the estimate is. Imperial County sources include vehicular traffic, including ports of entry into the United States, unpaved road dust, fugitive windblown dust, farming operations, and managed burning and disposal, as well as light industrial sources. Regarding the CSC Community Steering Committee formation profile, Imperial County Air Pollution Control District partnered with Comité Cívico del Valle to author a report entitled Imperial County AB 617 Community Nominations, with the purpose of informing CARB on which communities within Imperial County should be selected to participate in the first year of the CAP. The geographic proximity of these three areas lent to their being grouped together as a single AB 617 nominated community known as the El Centro Heber Calexico Corridor. Imperial County Air Pollution Control District nominated as its first community for the participation in the CAP program. On September 27, 2018, the California Air Resources Board made final its selection for the Year 1 communities to participate in the CAP, and our community corridor was selected and approved. Air District and CCV held the AB 617 kickoff meeting and with the community on November 1st, 2018 for the selected El Centro Heber Calexico Community Corridor. The co-chairs of the Community Steering Committee for 617 is the Air Pollution Control District, APCO, myself, and the founder and director of Community Civic Divide, Mr. Luis Omero. We reviewed all the applications and selected 15 primary members, with them having the opportunity to select their alternates from the pool of applicants. Carroll County has is one of two AB 617 communities who share our chairmanship with a local EJ group, our local EJ group being CCV. Community members are well suited for providing insight on the air quality issues in their community, and their input is necessary to ensure effective community-focused monitoring. The Community Steering Committee members were selected with the expectation that they would communicate and voice the sentiments of their fellow community members. The actions of the Community Steering Committee are governed by a charter, and the CSE steering meetings are held regularly to learn, discuss, and vote upon important issues related to the CAMP, the SERP, and the broader AB 617 program in total. I'll be submitting these notes and other sheet points to the Karen Magliano for the record, so you'll have those available. With that said, this isn't an easy process. It's an unusual marriage, partnership, but we've tried to make the best of it. We've come a long way. There's been some great successes there. I think the message is getting out loud and clear. Luis and I have both learned much about our different efforts and learned much about each other as individuals. We've wanted to set some type of a standard that perhaps could be adopted and shown leadership throughout the state, ideally could be adopted in other areas as a model to follow. I can't do all this without having a tremendous staff at the Air Pollution Control District. We're a staff of near 23 people. We're a very small air district. We're an interesting location, also more rural and ag as compared to a more metropolitan or industrial area. But we have unique issues, and we're so pleased to have you here to join us. With that, I'll close. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Olmedo, would you like to make some remarks now?
Thank you for making your way all the way to Imperial Valley. This is a historical moment. I want to thank the entire board, see a lot of good friends and people that I've been working with over the years, and I can only dream of this moment of having the board come to our own community so we don't, as much as we like to articulate the issues, you can never exchange it for the actually being here and experiencing it for yourselves. In similar manner to that of our co-chair, Mr. Matt Desert, I would like to read a few things into the record and then make some closing statement as well. I'd like to welcome the approval of the Community Emissions Reductions Programs, as we know as SERPs, and a visit to Imperial for the first time and firsthand experience of these AB 617 communities that show more than data, pictures submitted during the nomination process. I also like to highlight the great collaboration of community organizations, Air District, Community Steering Committee, and second step to moving forward, the Community Steering Committee developed Community Air Monitoring Network, also incorporating the comments and guidance of the OCAP. The program implementation should run for a longer until the long-term changes are implemented, with more resources dedicated to the unique communities such as Imperial and San Ysidro. We know that there's not enough resources out there. There's not enough have been dedicated by the governor's office. We will continue to push for more, at least at where it's been, if not more. We're just at a pivotal moment right now where we are seeing the fruits. We are seeing the benefits of AB 617. So we really encourage the board to continue to push for more resources. We also welcome support of the incentives programs. CARB is in a unique situation where there is a growing movement by these disadvantaged communities and environmental justice communities to work with the air districts to implement changes needed to meet the emission standards goals. Also, following the success of the process during year one in Imperial and the recent incorporation of the Eastern Coachella Valley to the AB 617 program, we also hope that the board considers the also the adoption of the North End communities of the Imperial Valley, which a nomination was submitted. We understand there's many communities that are also looking forward to being part of this program. But again, I think that by having the North End communities also considered in the near future would certainly bring strategic opportunities to cover the entire valley. Immediately next steps, we hope that the community corridor in Imperial, such as the additional new IVAN monitors, continue to incorporate new data into the air quality AQView platform that the CARB is developing, as well as continue to engage the community, participate in existing projects. Also, the importance of continued consistent funding, which I had mentioned, with an equitable allocation of resources to existing and additional AB617 communities. As our own monitoring plan and emissions reduction strategies show that we are resourceful in a manner we have used the granted resources, but this is not the standard that we are always held to. Leveraging resources has been a need, not our strategy. There is a need to increase investment. Additionally, one way that we hope to leverage resources in our district is to have the border unit be implemented. I know this is something that the board has supported and taken action on. We hope that the governor hears our continued ask, and that we hope that the governor does consider funding to the full extent necessary the border unit that the CARB has supported. Aside from that, I do want to acknowledge that we do have presence and participation of our brothers and sisters from across the border who have, in a very fast-track pace, not only grown as a population, but also are also growing in their participation. So I do want to acknowledge their participation here today, and I do hope that they also make their presence known through the public comment. Aside from that, I want to just thank the board again and want to highlight the importance and the value that, even though that we would hope to do, to be seeing a lot more aggressive emissions reductions at the sources and more community benefits, I do not want to underappreciate the value of the systems change that is occurring. It is historical that I get to sit here next to the air officer. This has never happened in the past. The relationships that are built, the bus tour today, we got to hear directly from industry and their willingness to really adopt new methods and standards of operating and working more closely together with the industry. These are historical conversations that have never happened. And I believe that 617, we're just seeing the beginnings of a future method of working together. And I think it's going to really accelerate the goals that California has set, that CARB has set, to reaching, first of all, to reducing and eliminating emissions from disadvantaged communities at the sources, fence line, but also meeting the goals of zero emissions when it comes to energy production and transportation as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think all of us are going to probably at some point want to comment about the experiences that we've had with this program, but I just want to say for myself that having been on the bus with you and with a number of staff members from the local air district as well as industry representatives, it was really a remarkable experience to see people working together and all contributing and just feeling very comfortable. I know these things don't always just immediately happen, and I'm sure a lot of work went into it, but it was really very impressive. So thank you for your great reception and for the education that we have received. I'd like to turn now to a member of the Community Steering Committee for a presentation, Christian Salgado.
Hello, good afternoon. I first would like to welcome all of those who have traveled some distance to Imperial County. I hope that your bus tour today was very eye-opening and impactful. I myself had got to take a toxic bus tour, as we call them, when I was in high school. So I know that they can definitely show you a part of a county that you wouldn't experience otherwise. So I would like to speak a little bit about my experience with the community admissions reduction program. So I am one of 13 community members that have been dedicated over the past year to be meeting sometimes once or twice a month to discuss both the community admission reduction program as well as the CERP, the community admissions reduction program, as well as the community monitoring program. These acronyms can get you tongue twisted sometimes. And candidly speaking, I can honestly say that it has been a bumpy road, and not all things have been agreed upon, but we definitely agreed upon that something had to be done. And I think that is the community admissions reduction program. Many things that were vocalized by residents over the course of the year were mobile admissions, by traffic, by the border, fugitive dust from both paved and unpaved roads. There was also a lot of discussion by disturbed or undisturbed parts of the desert, agricultural burning, as well as industrial facilities. We had discussed lengthy, especially for some residents who are not versed in all the scientific terminology of particulate matter 2.5, 10, and greenhouse gas emissions as being some of the main pollutants of concern. So I also would like to speak a little bit more about how the CERP, we hope to address also the reduction in toxic air contaminants as that contribute to a cumulative exposure burdens within a selective community. So I speak very specifically for the city of Calexico. If you follow our air district's air monitoring, most of the time the air district is most harmful in the city of Calexico, which I'm a resident of. Overall, I felt this experience was both beneficial for all those who participated, and I look forward to your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We also have a report now from their Resources Board staff with their recommendations for what the board should be doing next. So I will hear from Ms. Andrea Juarez.
Hello. First of all, I would like to thank Matt Deser, Luis Ormedo, and Christian Salgado, along with all of the steering committee members, as well as staff from both the Imperial County Air Pollution Control District and Comité Cívico del Valle, for all their efforts in this process. The plan is the result of an extensive community collaboration, and we commend the steering committee, the district, and Comité for all their work. The El Centro Heber Calexico Corridor in Imperial County is one of the first set of 10 communities selected under the Community Air Protection Program. This is the second community emissions reduction program the board is acting on, and today's action by the board continues the statewide effort to improve air quality in impacted communities. As we work to implement these community scale efforts, we are already identifying lessons learned to help improve the program overall and deliver emissions reductions. I'm going to talk briefly about CARB staff's review and recommendations on the Imperial County Year 1 Community Emissions Reduction Program Plan for the El Centro Heber Calexico Corridor, which are specific to the corridor but can also inform local efforts in other communities. Similar to the process we followed for the West Oakland Community Emissions Reduction Program that you approved last month, we have reviewed the plan with a few things in mind. We compared the plan to statutory and blueprint criteria and considered the comments and perspectives we heard at steering committee meetings and other outreach events, including our own community meeting, which was held in this past November. We also reviewed public comments on the plan and on our staff report. One of the best ways for our program as a whole to improve is by identifying key strengths that can benefit other communities. In the corridor, there were several aspects that we want to highlight. First, the district partnered with Comité, a well-established community-based organization with a strong community network within Imperial. Together, they convened a community steering committee and began work immediately. The steering committee was very energetic from the start. Members absorbed the information brought forth to them and fully participated during discussions. The district presented to the steering committee a variety of strategies to achieve emission reductions in their community. 28 strategies were agreed upon and clearly identified with the plan, along with metrics to track progress. This will result in implementation of a suite of strategies to achieve long-term emissions reductions. In addition, the collaboration between the district, comité, and the steering committee resulted in the development of a community air monitoring plan. This plan will build on the existing community-led monitoring network, which is a pioneering effort by comité. This approach, taken in the corridor, is a successful model for establishing a strong co-lead partnership to help expand community involvement and prevent barriers to engagement. The steering committee expressed support for the plan and approved it by unanimous vote. However, we also heard concerns about implementation, particularly regarding clarification and enhancement of strategy development. The strategies outlined in the plan have a great potential to reduce exposure to air pollution in the corridor, but strong implementation, along with a clear process to enhance the steering committee's ability to make informed decisions, will be essential. To strengthen implementation, we have identified areas for the district, comité, and the steering committee and CARB to continue to work together on. We are recommending actions to strengthen implementation in these areas, which include reduction strategies, coordination on border efforts, and process. I will touch briefly on the recommended actions in these areas. Under reduction strategies, our recommendations are focused on clarifying and enhancing strategy development in the plan. For example, the district has acknowledged that some strategies still need further definition, and the steering committee has voiced requests for continued discussion in order to determine additional strategies that would provide further emissions reductions in their community. To ensure this, we are recommending that the district, comité, the steering committee, and CARB work together to continue to develop existing strategies and identify additional strategies. Additional information and clear parameters to help inform the selection and prioritization of the strategies, including incentive investments, should be a part of these development discussions. We also heard community concerns with border-related emissions consistently during steering committee meetings. In order to complement the local actions undertaken as part of the plan, we are recommending continued coordination of activities of the plan with agencies in California to address cross-border pollution within the state. These are complementary efforts, but it is important to recognize that continued coordination is needed to reduce residents' exposure. Our last recommendation is focused on aiding the implementation process. The steering committee was active during development of the plan. However, they on occasion felt rushed and requested additional time in the future to review information provided to them in order to ask questions, engage in discussion, and provide feedback. We are recommending a process be designed to enhance the steering committee's ability to make informed decisions. Taken collectively, these recommendations are proposed to help increase the overall success of the plan in the corridor. Lessons learned from this first year will help future steering committees in Imperial County and statewide. With these considerations in mind, staff recommend that the board approve the El Centro Heber Calexico Corridor Community Emissions Reduction Program and direct the district to work with the Community Steering Committee and CARB on the identified actions. We are also recommending that the board direct the district to provide updates on the measurable progress made towards these actions in the annual reports required by AB 617. This concludes the staff presentation. But before we transition over to responding to board member questions and public comment, as mentioned earlier by Chair Nichols, we would like to acknowledge the issues arising from the Salton Sea. While not part of the action that you're considering today, our Deputy Executive Officer, Kurt Carperos, will now provide a short presentation regarding the Salton Sea. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bert?
Good afternoon, Board. Lakes have formed and evaporated in the Salton Trench over the millennia. The current lake was formed in 1905 when an irrigation canal carrying Colorado River water was breached. It took 18 months to seal that breach, and in the course of that that time, that Colorado River water formed the sea as we know it today. If we could move to the second slide. It is the state's largest lake. Those of you that flew over that today probably got that impression. It's 380 square miles, which is roughly 248,000 acres. I'm going to ask you to remember those two numbers because I'm going to have a couple of other numbers to, for you to compare to that so you can understand really the extent of the impact of the receding lake will have on the region. It's a shallow lake, about 40 feet deep at its deepest, and landlocked, again, of course, as you saw today, which means it is very high salinity, about 30% higher than the Pacific Ocean. Water levels have been maintained since the breach of the irrigation canals by ag runoff. Again, Colorado River water, irrigation water flowing through a number of rivers as well as directly into the lake within the basin. Growing demand for Colorado River water, both within California and the other states that draw from that river, as well as drought conditions, led to the development of the Quantification Settlement Agreement in 2003, which is a set of interlocking agreements among some of the major players outlining their responsibilities in terms of water distribution and the like. To name some of those players, the state of California is one of those, the Department of the Interior, the Imperial Irrigation District, the Coachella Valley Water District, the San Diego County Water Authority, and the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California. In its simplest sense, what the QSA, or Quantification Settlement Agreement, means is less irrigation water coming to Imperial County, and as a result, less runoff, continued runoff into the sea, and then a gradual receding of the shoreline as a result. Since the quantification, up until 2018, the lake has been receding or been dropping, the lake level has been dropping about a half a foot per year. There's been continued requirements for inflow into the sea to control salinity. Those requirements changed in 2018, less water again now flowing into the sea, and so it's now forecast the drop of the lake level is forecast to drop about a foot per year going forward to 2047. That's when it's forecasted to stabilize in terms of the size the size of the sea. What that means is there's about a 1,500 to 5,400 acres per year of lake bed of playa, of emissive, dust-emissive playa that are being exposed. If you compare that to what I said earlier about the size of the sea, that's about 1% per year of the size of the lake receding. Obvious concerns about the exposure, and you obviously will be hearing about those in the public testimony, the obvious concerns about the impact of people's lives who live and live in the region. CARB designed some years ago an air quality monitoring system that rings the sea, and we do measure from those monitors levels above the air quality standards, above the 24-hour federal PM10 standard, for example. Lastly, before I move on, let me give you something to compare to in terms of the impact of this lake to another dry lake bed in the state of California, the Owens Lake. So the Owens Lake bed, the dry Owens Lake bed, is about 100 square miles. And to mitigate the dust emissions from that lake bed, we are now, the state of California, and the, quite frankly, it's the Department of Water and Power in L.A., has placed mitigation on 53 square miles of that 100 square miles of Owens Lake. So a very, very massive effort was required to control that situation down there. If we could go to the next slide, please. The As I said, the quantitation settlement agreement is an interlocking set of requirements on a number of players, and I'm going to outline the responsibilities of some of the primary players. First, at this point, the primary player is the Imperial Irrigation District, which is currently implementing a two-part program. One is to monitor the emissions from the exposed playa to understand the different characteristics of the soils around the sea as they are exposed, and where the emissions are mostly coming from. Turns out right now the west side of the sea is the most emissive. About 20% of the exposed playa is on the west side, but 63% of the estimated emissions from the total region is coming from the west side. The second responsibility for the IID at this point is to develop and refine and implement dust control approaches. Under current state law, the local air districts are responsible for establishing and enforcing dust rules. The sea straddles two air districts, the Imperial County Air District, and then the top, maybe 20%, is in the South Coast Air Quality Management District. Under the settlement agreement, the responsibilities that the Imperial Irrigation District have will shift mid this decade. When the original funding that was ID'd in that agreement is spent, there was about $133 million set aside to start mitigation, both species habitat and dust mitigation, starting back in 2003. With interest, that's about $280 to $290 million. Once that is spent mid-decade, the primary and direct responsibility for what has to be done ultimately to mitigate dust and provide species habitat will fall directly to the state. With that responsibility, the California Natural Resources Agency will be responsible for maintaining the projects that are being developed right now, as well as constructing and implementing future projects as are needed. And as that responsibility shifts more to the state, there'll be an increased role for CARB, both the board and staff, in coordinating with our sister agency, the Natural Resources Agency, as well as the local agencies, in developing the appropriate sort of approaches to dealing with the issue. If we could go to the next slide, please. Under the last administration, the Salton Sea Task Force was created in 2015 and was directed to coordinate among a various number of agencies and with the local agencies a comprehensive management plan for the sea, which is called the Salton Sea Management Program or Plan. You'll hear it called both things, a program and a plan. Now, since assuming office, Governor Newsom has directed the state agencies to accelerate efforts related to that plan in addressing the sea more directly. Phase one of that plan is a 10-year program for habitat restoration and dust suppression. It calls for just under 30,000 acres of projects. For dust particularly, it's a mix of projects that use water and some that don't. This includes the water mitigation would include vegetation with suitable high-efficiency irrigation, for example. It also means habitat restoration, which might be shallow flooding and vegetation for species habitat that would also have a dust benefit. For dry approaches that don't use water, one very promising approach where the soil structures are suitable is furrowing with a tractor pulling a big device to kick up a big furrow with associated moat. That roughens the surface and changes the airflow across the dry exposed bed. It also traps the particles as they begin to bounce along before they get emitted into the air. And then finally, it can be a location for natural developing vegetation. Phase one is an important step, but it's not a full solution. To give you a sense, as I said, about 30,000 acres of mitigation over the course of that 10 years, but over that same time, the plan forecasts that there'll be about 48,000 acres of new playa exposed. So phase one is important, but it is not by any means the complete solution. Existing funds for those efforts come from the water bond, Proposition 1, about $80 million. There was also funds from the Wildlife Conservation Board of about $14 million. One of the major challenges finding the funds for that, the governor proposed in the climate resilience bond in his budget that he released last week, $220 million for addressing issues at the sea. And if we go to my last slide, please. And I'll finish by outlining CARB's current work and what we understand will be a needed and growing role going forward. Staff was a member of the governor's task force that led to the drafting of the Salton and Sea Management Plan. And as I mentioned before, under Governor Newsom has directed us to accelerate efforts. And so we continue to coordinate with the Natural Resources Agency, Cal EPA, the Water Board, and Governor's Office leadership. We provided the design and the specifications for the air quality monitoring system that I said is ringing the sea at this point. And we're using that data ourselves to understand the emissions of the region and the impact not only in terms of near source impacts, but the impact on the entire region of dust coming from come from the sea. And I don't want to minimize the current impact of the sea and its growing impact of the sea, but that effort in understanding all of the emissions within all of Imperial County is critical. There are off-sea sources that are important for us to address, and I think you'll hear about those as we talk about the Community Emission Reduction Program. If we're to provide clean air for the region, we need to be dealing with both the sea and then the off-sea sources. We've participated and continue to participate in the technical advisory teams that are leading to the mitigation that I was speaking about before. And finally, as the responsibility shifts in mid-decade and falling more heavily on the state, our technical support, particularly of the Natural Resources Agency, as they develop the projects and implement the projects on the sea, will certainly need to increase. And that will go in parallel with increased participation and coordination on the part of CARB staff with the local authorities, the local air districts, and US EPA. And with that, I'll stop and turn it back to you, Chair Nichols.
That was a very compressed, but I think thorough summary of a very complicated story. Lots more to be discussed, but not at this meeting, I think. But we will, I'm sure, be hearing more from members of the public on this point as well. So I think it's now an opportunity, if board members have any questions before we hear from the public. If not, I will go directly to the public testimony. We have a list, which is posted on the screen up there. So if you signed up to speak, you can see where you are. And we would appreciate it if you would be ready to come forward when the time comes so we can move things along. Before we do that, though, did he say he would? I'm sorry. It's hard to see everybody here, so apologies. One of our board members did indicate that he wanted to say a few words, and I think we should hear from him because of his particularly important role in the creation of AB 617, as well as the fact that he is from this area. So, Assemblymember Garcia, would you please take the mic?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the board, of course, and the staff for committing to have this hearing here in our district in Imperial County. There has been, I think what many would say in this community, an unprecedented amount of attention in the recent 2 years from the California Air Resources Board in this region. And I think today it becomes the accumulation of the work, the dialogues that have been taking place, the debates and deliberations on how to set priorities for this community emissions reduction program. As we heard from the director of the Air District here locally and the co-chair of the Environmental Justice Group, Comité Cívico del Valle, there are other strategies that remain to be specifically defined, along with encompassing other communities in the northern parts of this county. I think the presentation on the Salton Sea allows me to extend, you know, the request that when we're looking at the problems related to air quality in this region, we cannot overlook the problem that we just had an overview about, and that's the Salton Sea. We're very fortunate to have the Eastern Coachella Valley communities to have been selected as one of the communities that will also be working on a community reduction plan, but there will be a gap in between this region and that region. And so my hope is that regardless if officially designated the rest of the northern parts of the county or the southern parts of the Coachella Valley, that we will be able to exercise and implement the same strategies throughout the entire 360 miles of the Salton Sea, that again, we just got a very condensed but very specific breakdown on what our challenges there happen to be. For me, I will say that the California State Assembly and the co-author of this measure, Christina Garcia, referred to these efforts as a down payment. Every step of the way as we were deliberating and discussing this initiative, a down payment in the sense that this is the beginning of our efforts to be focused on communities that are economically disadvantaged and that have faced environmental justice issues for many, many decades. And so we are both excited and positively optimistic about the work that's ahead, but I think that there will be a lot of discussion along the way to modify and to expand on the work that's being done or that's being proposed to be adopted. I want to acknowledge the board members that were able to participate in today's tour. You got to see firsthand some of the priorities that have been put together by the steering committee, the visit to the border, and the impacts of the thousands of people that cross on a daily basis to the air quality basin of this region. You got to visit the area where the New River is located and the both water and air quality problems that exist as a result of the lack of investment on both sides of the border for many, many years. And then you also got to visit some schools where you saw the juxtaposition of where there are people and then where there's open land where occasionally, unknowingly to the public, these ag burns that take place, irrespective of them being permitted or not, the community recognizes that they are impactful to the public health and well-being of everyone who lives in this area. And so it was a holistic tour that was strategically laid out for all of us to get a better sense of the problems that exist here in this part of the state. I will speak for the many people who are not here, and those who are here will probably say this. This is a region of the state that feels that it's been forgotten, that investment coming this way has been short to minimal in trying to address not just these environmental justice issues, but the economic justice issues that exist in this region. In a time where California celebrates the lowest unemployment rates that we've ever seen, we have the highest in the state of California here, reaching close to 20 percentile. So we've got some work to do on all fronts. And these investments coming to this region, whether they be for environmental purposes or direct economic purposes, there has to be a way in which we see the co-benefits across the board. And so I want to just thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the board for being here, the members of the community who have participated in this lengthy process to put this reduction plan together, and then at the same time commit to our community that in the legislature we're going to advocate to ensure that the resources are made available to implement these plans to their fullest. So thank you again, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to say a few words, and certainly everyone who's come out this evening in support, in maybe opposition to the plan, or for that matter, to just express their concerns. I'll leave you with this. I was reminded as I was driving here, there was a political sign out there that says, water is life in the Imperial County. I once heard from a child that said air quality is death in this region. And the reason why they said that is because of the alarming statistics that exist when it comes to respiratory disease problems amongst children and adults in this community. And so that's how important not just this gathering is tonight, but the work that's going to be moving ahead as we adopt this program. So thank you again for allowing me to say a few words, and really looking forward to the work that we have ahead.
Thank you. We appreciate those remarks, especially the comment at the end about the legislature making sure we have the resources to implement these plans. I like the sound of that a lot. I'm going to also call on Diane Takvorian, who has worked in this area as well, who wanted to make a few opening remarks.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I really want to hold my comments, I think, until after the community has had an opportunity to speak, other than to express my gratitude to Assemblymember Garcia and underscore everything he has said, and to Comité Cívico for having lifted up this work for a great many years. And I want to say I think that the emission reductions plan actually started years ago. That this work has been being done for so many years, and so that you were ready to start, when the state finally caught up with the good work that you've done, and certainly to the Air District for your partnership and for CARB stepping in. I'm very sorry I couldn't come on the tour today, but happy to be here today to hear from all of the community members. I'm looking forward to that. Thank you.
Okay. Without further ado, we will hear from the members of the public who have signed up to speak to us, beginning with Brittany Solorzano Blanco.
Hi, good evening, Board. My name is Brittany Solorzano Blanco. I'm with CCV. I coordinate the School Flag Program. So I'm very happy that a lot of you got the chance to go on the tour and see a couple of the schools within the corridor that participate in this program. But I just want to say that the School Flag Program, it's more than just an air notification program. It helps reduce absenteeism in schools, it raises air quality awareness, and it provides school-based interventions so that way schools know what to do when there's a poor air quality day. But most importantly, it helps improve the lives of those students who live within the corridor. So our community has over 37,000 students, and 16,000 of those students are within the 617 corridor. So programs like the School Flag Program are crucial for the health of those young ones in our community. So the School Flag Program, it's a great example of helping out schools within the community, and it shouldn't stop there. We should continue to do as much as we can to reduce emissions within the corridor and help improve the quality of life for all those in the Imperial County. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to ask that when you see your name is up there, if the next two or three people could come forward at one time, I think it'll be more efficient for everybody. So we have Mr. Rodriguez next, and then a couple of people, I guess, dropped off. So after that, excuse me, it would be Rene Mireles and Eric Montoya Reyes. If they would all sort of come forward at one time, that would be helpful. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I've had the opportunity to see some recent projects being completed of this program. One was McCabe School District. The parking lot that was down there was very beautifully done. I remember when my daughter was going to school out there. She now graduated from the University of Colorado with dirt. It was nice to see a project actually completed with the funding available. This past Sunday, I've been to the Ivy Museum out there by Ocotillo. It was nice to see that parking lot that used to be a dirt parking lot now completed and with asphalt. Cuts down the dust. I've also recently had an opportunity to walk from El Centro to Heber instead of the usual route. Ms. Assemblyman Garcia, I do respectfully disagree on your comment about air. I think water is life because I needed water both to go and come back. I breathe clean air. I didn't have any, I'm pretty healthy myself. It was a beautiful sunny day. I started early, came back early. I noticed other residents were walking as well as I was throughout the area. They all decided to come out and walk. I'm in favor of the program that's going. However, I do have a couple issues I have with the current program. It was nice to see all the cooperation today on Facebook and all the photos. Excellent. But I wish it was not the exception. That's how I feel. It should be the standard with air pollution and Comite working together side by side all the time, not just when it's convenient, when we're having individuals from the state of California or our local representatives showing up. This cooperation should be hand in hand. Together, we should do it. And it comes back on sometimes a lack of information from, I get frustrated with Comite and I express my concerns, and I will still express my concerns to them. Imperial County is not a dog and pony show. Imperial County is to be valued for the people, by the people, and of the people. On the 26th of January, I plan to go visit the Sunny Bono Refuge, go on another hiking trip. We have big problems in the North and the Salton Sea. Promises from the federal government, state of California, have not been fulfilled. Those are very important issues to me. I want to work with you, Luis Olmedo, and your fellow members, but please, let's all cooperate all the time, not some of the time. That is my comments. Thank you.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Oh, I'm going to try to say this in English, okay? My name is René Mireles, and I'm a resident of Mexicali. I love living in Mexicali. I have a 2-year-old boy, and I feel very responsible because Mexicali, it's not a good place for my 2-year-old to live. There's a very serious environmental problem in Mexicali as well as in the Imperial Valley. I talked to my wife about moving to San Diego, but as we all know, I need a green card, which I don't have, so that's not possible. But you know what? The air pollution doesn't care about immigration laws, borders. So the same polluted air that my son is breathing, which is visible to the naked eye through the windows of this hall, which is also loaded with tons of PM2.5 particles, the same air that my son is breathing is the same air that all the children in the Imperial Valley are breathing. So the reason for me to be here is to address this board and make... destacar.
And to underline.
And underline the importance of working together, the Imperial Valley and El Valle de Mexicali, the Mexicali Valley, to find solutions. We are a group of citizens that are dedicating our time to find a solution, and we are ready to put pressure in our government because, unfortunately, our government is not making enough efforts to solve this problem. So please consider the importance of making a joint effort with the Mexican government and the Mexican communities to find a solution to this problem that we all have in this region. Thank you very much for letting us, for having us. Thank you, Luis Olmedo, for inviting us. And please keep that in mind. Thank you very much.
Eric Reyes, organizer for Los Amigos de la Comunidad, also a community health advocacy organization. I want to say first things, historically, we have not been the most well-received area of California by agencies such as CARB. So we appreciate that you're not only here, but we have plans in action. But to that extent, we also have a poor history of follow-up, enforcement, and proper implementation. And I think that's the message I want to give today. I'm very, when the program first started, carried by Assemblyman Garcia and dedicating monies to districts, underserved communities, it was very exciting. And in the format that they had of participatory democracy was most encouraging to me as a person who has been in, dedicated to that most of my life. And we see, as Mr. Matt Deser said, the odd marriage. I don't see it odd, right? There's different things you can call odd. I don't think this is odd. I think this is positive and moving us forward. But as I read through this, also encourage that is only a first-year phase, and there's going to be a lot of modifications we can make, and there's going to be continued input, not only from the agencies, but from the community as well. Because, again, our history, and we're frustrated. Some of us have tired. Some of us are angry that there has not been proper follow-up to some of the complaints, some of the real issues we have faced for generations that we have worked on. And I'm going to say Air Pollution Control District in generations past. Matt Desert is not part of that. I can say would not allow us to move forward on direct issues here in Imperial County. As they always had an excuse, well, we can't control Mexicali. We know that. Ag burning is only 1% of the inventory, and we understand that. Ag emissions is only 1%. Also, we understand that. But I think if we could aggressively work on those that we can control, if you take 20 matters that are part of the inventory, even at 1%, you've taken care of 20% of your 100% of inventory in the air pollution area. I think that's very positive, and I think what AB 617 has allowed community to do is talk about those issues for the first time in an open forum where everyone will be heard and respected as to what they say. Even if you have different opinions, and I've heard from both sides, industry was also, and you would call them pollutants, the industry polluters were at the table as well. How often do we have that with the public in an open forum where they can evenly discuss those issues together? And I think that was a very, very most positive part of the whole process. So I thank you, Assemblyman Garcia, for moving that forward. But to that end, I know every October there'll be a report, as I read in the report. How aggressive will we be afterwards is going to tell us how successful we'll be. How aggressive will we continue to be afterwards, and how much future funding, not just the 3 years as well. Thank you very much.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Bob Fisher, and I'm an alternate steering committee member here for the AB 617 steering committee. And I pretty much wanted to echo what Eric Reyes just said, that in my 30 years in the air pollution business here as both working for the district and for the U.S. Navy, I have never seen this as an unprecedented collaboration, people coming together, sharing their different views, working out solutions, and raising the awareness of air pollution issues in this valley. I think that we're headed in the right direction. That's all.
Good evening, members of the board. My name is Sergio Valenzuela. I'm an air monitoring technician with Comité Cívico del Valle, and I'm here to support staff consideration and approval of the AB 617 Community Emissions Reductions Program for the El Centro-Heber-Calexico Corridor. I'd like to speak briefly about the significance of air quality monitoring. For those of you that got to participate today in today's tours, I'd like to highlight that you got to travel through several different communities in a short period of time. These communities are underrepresented and lack the tools necessary to make their voices heard to those agencies with the power to respond and make a positive change. By approving the Community Emissions Reduction Program, these communities will be given the tools necessary to be heard. The implementation of additional air quality monitors will provide these impacted communities the data necessary to take action and make positive change and create awareness. Awareness that can create, that can protect children from being exposed to air pollution, and awareness that can create the guidelines for future generations to continue taking action and creating a better quality of life in their communities. And so again, I ask the board to support the consideration and approval of the AB 617 Community Emissions Reduction Program. Thank you, Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia, and thank you, board.
Good afternoon, board members. Thank you for being here. My name is John Hernandez. I'm a son of a farm worker, father, grandfather, and a steering committee member. Very concerned about the future of our community. See that guy over there in the corner? Listen to what he's saying. Tiene buen verbo. He can articulate some of the things that I've been trying to articulate for the last 40 years. And because he sits up there, people are listening, and what he's saying is what people in our community have been saying for a long time, that we need the attention, we need the resources. And we've lived here all our lives, so it's not just about cattle, cars, crops. It's about the impacts to our community. And all we want is a level playing field. We're sandwiched in between the conversation we'll have later about the salt and sea, because I'm very concerned about that too, and the border. And as you guys are looking and listening, that we're sandwiched in between that, and we're in this bowl, that we need the attention, because we're in a unique valley. Our situation is unique and requires unique solutions. In addition, it requires adequate resources. And I think that the 617 legislation by Cristina Garcia and supported by Assemblymember Eduardo Garcia is a step in the right direction. And I feel very fortunate to be at the table and to be heard and to be taken into consideration and taken seriously as some of the things that are articulated by myself and by others in the community are being heard by not only those in our community, the Air District, our elected officials, but also you as the California Air Resources Board, who have now stepped foot in this valley, and you'll never be the same in a positive way, because you're going to be able to help us, and we will expect that, and we will hold you accountable for that, because my kids' future depend on you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members of the board. My name is Ruben Olmedo. I'm here on behalf of Comité Cívico del Valle. First of all, I want to thank everyone for giving us the time to speak and express our concerns, especially for you to come all the way here, and it's a big sacrifice and time. I'm here to express my support for Assembly Bill 617. As you saw from the bus tours, we are struggling with our air quality and need to help to find a solution to this toxic environment. Thank you.
Hello, good afternoon, members of the board. Thank you for having me. I just would like to say thank you and express my gratitude for having you all here today and seeing some of the concerns in our unique Imperial County. I would love to thank Sandra especially, because we had some good conversation about the impact of the border and how it's affecting the air quality around us. Recently, I was able to go out to Mexicali on Saturday, and I couldn't be out there because, to be honest with you, if there was a color for the air quality, it would probably be black and gray. It was really bad out there. And thank you for your efforts in helping and listening to what we have to say. And just know that there is going to be a lot more comments directed your way, because this is the first step to to start that community conversation, and hopefully there's more meetings down here so you guys are able to hear us. But thank you for having AB617 out here, because as a community health worker, I really see the impact that it has on public health, and having that program helps us, you know, teach the community ways to protect themselves from the emissions that are out there. You know, particulate matter, the main pollutant is PM2.5 this week, let alone. So thank you, and hopefully we can have AB617 program in Nyland, Westmoreland, and Raleigh, because the fact is that we need it out there, because the public impact out there is big, because it's closer to the Salton Sea, and right now there is no study done to see the public health impact, but it's important to really jot that down and understand what's happening. Thank you.
Hi, members of the board. I think I saw most of you this morning during the tours. I'm glad you were able to enjoy the aerial tour as well, to gain the impact that it is, that when we say that our community is unique and that we essentially have a population center of 1 million people right across the border. There's just a fence separating us, and it's close to a 10-to-1 ratio at this point. It's expanding, and a lot of the emissions that are coming from Mexico are impacting us very, very harshly. I've grown up here. All that, 30 years of my life, I've left for 3 years for school, and that's it. I've always lived here. I've always worked here. And aside from those 3 years, I've always studied here. So I understand the impact that it has. I have family members, friends, acquaintances, work colleagues, everybody who's been impacted in their health because of what happens here. And I appreciate the chance that you got to see that today. I love that we were picked as one of the year one communities, because we can build upon what we had here. Comité has been a leading light in the environmental justice for decades, and we were glad to be able to take a chance to step up and lead the program like that. I know we're the second community to get the SERPs approved. I was in West Oakland last month in December. I think I saw some of you there, and I gave support to that community. And I'm glad that you guys are now doing us second, even though we had a rocky start. I feel that we've collaborated pretty well. It's nice to see our CSC represented at the table with them speaking. I know there's some members that are still signed up to give public comment as part of the CSC, because we feel that we've educated them and they're actually providing good input. I know there was some rocky conversations in December and November with ARB staff that came down to speak to the CSC, but that's what we want. We want them to have those conversations, because it's not always easy, and we need to have those hard talks. And you guys need the feedback to understand that well, the solutions that work and all the other communities are not going to work here all the time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair Nichols, members of the board and staff, or good evening. My name is Greg Sutler from Alcal Specialty Contracting. We're a California-based energy efficiency company that hires regionally and has workforce trainings in local communities. First, I want to commend the staff and the board for your work on the program here. Also to Luis Almedo and CCV for their efforts. Thanks to the support of Assemblyman Garcia and Supervisor Perez and CCV, my company has, and Johns Manville have a partnership with the South Coast Air Quality Management District to perform residential energy efficiency upgrades in disadvantaged communities in the Coachella Valley. We are also partnering with the Imperial Irrigation District and SoCal Gas to utilize their existing rebate programs to increase the number of homes we can retrofit and reduce emissions from energy production. This innovative public-private partnership uses residential retrofits to help mitigate the poor indoor air quality impacts of past emissions and help reduce the ongoing emissions from fossil fuel power plants that serve the area. Our approach has been adopted by the AQMD as a formal pollution control measure used to make progress towards achieving fine particulate and ozone quality standards, air quality standards. Over the years, toxic particulates from agriculture, as well as toxic metal particulates emitted from the Salton Sea as the Salton Sea continues to evaporate, have all found their ways into the attics of homes in Imperial and Riverside County. Those particulates can enter the indoor living space through the many penetrations in the attic floor. When we air seal those attic floors, we cut off that exposure pathway that will help improve indoor air quality and mitigate impacts on vulnerable populations. These retrofits also reduce heating and cooling bills and enhance safety and comfort and help achieve climate justice and climate resilience, furthering the goals of the board and local air districts. I hope we can serve as a partner as you continue to implement this part of the plan and expand it in the coming years. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
No, it's English, yes. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mary Salazar, and I'm part of the steering committee member. And I stand up before you, and at one point last year, I could have just been a statistics. I was diagnosed with mercury, and I didn't even know what that was when I went into a case study with the environmental care study. And if it weren't for our members asking me, the steering committee, to be part of the endeavor to help with the air pollution that we have here in the valley, I probably wouldn't be standing here. Thanks to them, I wanted to be researching a little bit more about what I would be doing with the committee. And I went ahead and joined the study. So the sad thing about that, when I went to my doctor, they had no clue how to help me. There's no cure. You're on your own. And I want to emphasize that we need to educate our doctors. We need to improve the system as to what's going on, that what's killing us here in the valley. It's happening. And the doctors can't help us. So we need help in that respect. Another thing that this problem that we have in the valley, if we don't start doing something aggressively, it will probably be too late, just like me. And if we don't push medical doctors to get knowledgeable about what can do with chemicals in your body, then we're going to be dying of asthma and respiratory and all these other elements that they have no clue how we're getting it or how to cure it. So my point is that I like to emphasize that we can do things that are proactive, maybe, you know, planting trees, encourage us to, you know, instead of riding cars, have bike paths, walkways, teaching our students in the school systems that, well, there's better ways to not idling the cars for every morning, 2-3 blocks of cars idling every morning in the city of Calexico. And we got to start new methods to improving that wouldn't cost money, just educating our residents, everybody here in the valley. That's all we can do, because I know the money's coming slowly at the very small portions that probably won't make an impact, but maybe we can do something in the future to help improve ourselves, to help our valley without the resources that we can't get all the time. So I wanted just to say that we do have farming here all year round. We're all the only one in the world that harvests year round. No one else in the country does that. So we do have a big impact from our farmers. And their only solution is to burn. It's cheaper for them to do that than to pay the fines. They don't care about the fines. So we need to make either stiffer fines and help us find, you know, solutions for our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good afternoon to all of you.
Mi nombre es Fernando Flores de Observatorio Ciudadano de Baja California en Mexicali, una organización de la sociedad civil.
My name is Fernando Flores from
Obsérvese. Actualmente soy estudiante del doctorado en ciencias de la educación trabajando en mi disertación.
Presently, I am studying my doctorate in education sciences, and I'm working on my dissertation.
Prácticamente vengo a hablar públicamente en agradecer a Comité Cívico del Valle.
I'm here practically to speak publicly and to thank Comité Cívico del Valle.
Específicamente a Luis Olmedo.
And to thank Luis Olmedo specifically.
Por tomarnos en consideración a la comunidad de Mexicali.
For considering the community of Mexicali.
Por instruirnos y darnos el tiempo precisamente para conocer lo que ustedes encuentran haciendo de este lado de la frontera.
For instructing us and giving us the time to inform all of you of what is happening on this side of the border.
Es muy importante recalcar que cuando se hacen este tipo de investigación.
It is very important to underline that when those investigations are being performed.
a través del Comité Cívico están tomando en consideración la historia.
Through Comité Cívico, they are considering the history,
la cultura,
the culture,
los valores,
the values,
los principios que nos dan identidad,
and the principles that give us identity,
pero sobre todo el sentido de pertenencia,
above all the sense of belonging,
porque nosotros como una sociedad civil organizada,
because us as an organized civil organization,
y una sociedad civil participativa,
and a participating civil association,
estamos trabajando en su conjunto para mejorar la calidad del aire en ambos lados de la frontera.
We are working in a partnership to improve air quality on both sides of the border.
Las decisiones que ustedes tomen a partir del día de hoy,
the decisions that you all make starting as of today,
serán seguidas minuciosamente por cada uno de los residentes de la ciudad de Mexicali de más de 1,000,000 de habitantes.
Shall be carefully followed by each and every single one of the inhabitants of the city of Mexicali.
Más de 1,000,000 de habitantes.
Which exceeds in more than 1,000,000 inhabitants.
Es importante recalcar.
It's important to underline
que nuestra petición,
that our request,
es la urgencia,
is the urgency,
de que CARB,
that CARB
formalice la unidad fronteriza,
makes formal the border unit,
con el único fin,
with the sole purpose,
de tener ciudadanos capacitados específicamente,
of having specially trained citizens,
y darnos y que compartamos la información en ambos lados de la frontera.
And to provide for us and for us to share information on both sides of the border.
Y por supuesto estamos a favor de la aprobación de la 617.
And also we are in favor of the approval of AB 617.
Muchas gracias a todos y que pasen muy buenas noches.
Thank you very much to all of you and have a good night.
Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Lillian Garcia with the National Border Patrol Council, Local 2554, which is Imperial County and Riverside County. We have about 600 agents, a little bit more, in the two counties. They work from the border up to the Salton Sea Basin. Today, I'm here. I know you guys probably have heard we've had agents pass away from cancer. So this is a big issue to us. Some of them have passed away from lung cancer. Not only have the agents been, affected, but also the community members. The school flag program has been affected in Imperial County. We're requesting for the Air Resources Board to consider and stop misusing public funds for the DILOs. We and other environmentalists have observed in Imperial County and Mexicali that the DILOs are at times contradicting to the regulatory monitors and purple air. This issue is delicate as we have been made aware of the plans to expand the network. This is something that we've brought it to the attention of state employees, and we hope that you guys consider investigating a little bit more because the misuse of public funds is a crime. Thank you for your time.
Hi, my name is Miguel Hernandez. I'm with Comité Cívico del Valle. And good to see you guys again. I see saw most of you guys this morning. Thanks for joining us on this tour. And again, I want to welcome you to Imperial Valley, even though you're just staying one day. It's not the same to see Imperial Valley through pictures. For some of you, you have the experience of seeing it firsthand, seeing the border fence. For our group, got to speak with Border Patrol agent, give us his words and his thoughts as a community resident, which I think it's pretty impactful for those that got to hear from him. And feel welcome. That's how the Imperial County community is. Not just the tour that we were able to put together, but just the simple fact of having those snacks on the bag. I know government tends to be a little bit cold on that side. It feels even better to see you guys here in Imperial Valley than us traveling to Sacramento for those that have a chance to go out there and, for you guys to feel welcome to, if you feel how our community is, get that first sense. And again, not just through pictures, not just through videos and talking about the Salton Sea, but actually living it, actually having the opportunity to speak with our community residents. So again, in the same spirit of 617, of that collaborative effort of moving things forward and working in the same direction, it is important for our community to see you guys here, to put faces on the names that they get to see on documents and you know, probably over the internet that they might see your picture. So same thing, you know, it's getting to know you firsthand and having you guys here in our community. Again, I have expressed this opinion before about the importance of including the north end of Imperial County to as a future 617 community. Probably there could be another source of funding for projects to happen. Just recently, the filtration system that Grace Smith School was able to implement, thanks to the Air Pollution Control District. Even though they're not part of the 617 corridor, it's up north. They have that air filtration system happening. So that's definitely you know, things that are well needed in our communities. So, you know, that whatever there is a chance for us to leverage funding, it was mentioned by our executive director that we have sort of been forced to leverage that funding because there is never enough. There is a probably undercounted population of Imperial County that doesn't, it's not significant as probably could be in San Diego County or Riverside County. So, you know, we also have the daytime population, people traveling back and forth from Mexicali all day, every day. And, you know, it's very important to put that, you know, that side note of the particularity of this community of having day population and night population. Again, thanks for being here. Let's keep 617 moving forward. Thank you.
Mark Plaza, Executive Director for the Imperial County Transportation Commission. Welcome to Imperial Valley. We're glad to have all of you here today. We are the Regional Transportation Planning Agency and the Transit Agency for Imperial County, and we're glad to provide the buses for your ground tours and to the airport today. I would like to highlight that we support the plan. We are part of the steering committee. It provides a lot of technical data that supports the challenges that we have here in Imperial Valley. And one of the things that I liked the most about it was that we saw the passion of our Air District and Comité Cívico and all of their efforts to help our region. They go unsung. They've gone unsung to date, and now we're seeing all the fruits of their labor. One of the things I would like to highlight as Assembly Member Eduardo Garcia said, the funding challenge that we have. We have a population of over, let's say, 180,000 plus people. That's part of the challenge. Government funds here is based on population. Now, we have another 50,000 people that come into our county every day from Mexicali, but we have to deal with those challenges crossing the border. And so those are our challenges in terms of funding for projects. We do a lot. Together with our partners, with your counterparts at the California Transportation Commission and Caltrans and our cities in the county to do improvements to help, you know, improve delays at the border crossings as we've done most recently and are planning more improvements. But I just wanted to highlight those challenges in terms of improvements and the funding challenges that we have here. And then on transit, you know, we provide a lot of services from Calexico all the way to Nyland or West Shores and on the west side of the Salton Sea and to Winter Haven to the east near at the Yuma border. That's a lot of service. But our headways run 65 to 70 minutes. And we do have some express routes that cut that in half, but that's only a few. And so that this is highlighting the challenge that we have in terms of funding. I would love to provide 15, 20-minute, or even 30-minute on a regular basis headways for transit in our region. But those are the challenges that we have. And then upgrading my fleet of diesel buses to electric. That's certainly a highlight that we need to your help in the future. And so thank you for your consideration. And thank you all for being here.
Buenas tardes a todos. Mi nombre es Saúl Elizondo, vengo de Mexicali. Agradezco la invitación de Luis Olmedo.
Good evening to everybody. My name is Saul Elizondo, and I want to thank Luis Olmedo for his invitation.
Pues, más que nada, quiero agradecer realmente el compromiso que ustedes como Comité Cívico tienen, y quiero que realmente podamos ver cómo Mexicali se suma como ciudad hermana a este compromiso.
I really want to thank all of you, the committee, for your commitment, and also thank you for accepting Mexicali into this effort, and see how Mexicali participates in this program.
La nueva administración en Mexicali tiene pues a bien desarrollar nuevas leyes que realmente protejan el interés y los valores socioambientales de la frontera que vecina con ustedes.
The new administration has the purpose of developing new laws that will protect the values and interests and a socio-economical aspect in Mexicali.
Así como la ley de usted, que ustedes están promoviendo, la AB 617.
Just like you are doing with AB 617.
Nosotros también estamos mejorando algunos aspectos legales para la protección ambiental, y queremos realmente que podamos hacer algún plan estratégico con el río Nuevo que lleva las aguas al Salto en sí, el cual es sumamente preocupante.
And we're also trying to improve certain legal aspects, just like some legal aspects for environmental protection, and we're trying to develop a strategic plan for the new river, which flows into the Salton Sea, which are very concerning.
Actualmente, en la organización que represento, nos estamos dedicando a la educación ambiental en el sector educativo, desde preescolar hasta universidad.
Currently, we are focusing on educating our children from the elementary, from preschool to high school about environmental education.
Ya que es sumamente importante que las nuevas generaciones tengan un sentido de pertenencia y un amor realmente por este medio ambiente que nos compete a todos.
Because it is very important to instill a sense of belonging in our children and love for our environment.
Siéntanse a bien ir a, así como lo hicieron hoy en el tour, a nuestra ciudad hermana, a Mexicali, y que realmente podamos trabajar de la mano.
I welcome you, and I hope you feel welcome in our sister city in Mexicali, and I hope that we can work together hand in hand.
Agradezco mucho el espacio, y pues de verdad felicidades por este esfuerzo.
I want to thank you for this opportunity and also for this big effort.
Great, thank you.
César Churisquia, muy buenas tardes, good afternoon, distinguished members of the board. My name is Maximiliano Achua. I'm with Comité Cívico del Valle as their policy advocate. I'm also a resident of the Eastern Coachella Valley. First and foremost, I want to welcome you all to Imperial Valley. I am really happy that you were able to participate in the tour. From a policy perspective, there's a real difference between reading an issue on paper versus seeing it firsthand. I'm also here to support the board to adopt a corridor plan to address emission reductions and air quality issues in the corridor. I want to highlight the collaboration of all the organizations and community members that made the work possible. It's not easy to get where we are. Furthermore, I'm looking forward to continuing work with CARV, South Coast Air Quality Management District, and the communities of the Eastern Coachella Valley to develop plans that will also address air quality and emissions in the northern and southern sea area of the valley. Lastly, I want to recommend and encourage the board to consider in the next round the northern region of Imperial County for emission reductions and air monitoring. Regionally speaking, it's necessary, and it would be absurd not to include it since it's in the middle. The board should also consider improving grants that will make these disadvantaged communities more competitively eligible for consideration in some of the nominations. Thank you.
Thank you for that comment. I believe that Mr. Ochoa is the last witness signed up to speak, and so I can close the record at this point. As people may or may not know, This whole process takes place under the California Environmental Quality Act. We are required to comply with it in terms of disclosing any environmental impacts and mitigating anything that might be negative. And so I need to ask the staff if at this point they heard anything, that any issues that were raised that you feel you need to address.
Nothing needs to be addressed, thanks.
Great. Okay. So we have a resolution before us, but I think maybe before we formally get to it, we should also ask if board members have any comments. And because it's very hard to see with this big table and straight line, I think I'm just going to start down at the end to my right, and we'll just go down the row, and if anybody wishes to speak, just take your turn.
Okay, thank you so much, and thanks to everyone who took the time to come out tonight. I know that it's time away from your families and from work and from your obligations, so it's really appreciated, I think, by every member of our board that you were here today so that we could hear directly from you. Thanks again to the Air District and to Comité Cívico de Valle, because it's very important, and we can tell that the great community outreach that's been done by those two organizations, as well as by CARB, with the meetings that they've been having here in the region, really have instilled a sense of commitment and interest in air quality that I know has been there for decades, really, but that finally there's a place for this to be discussed where there can be a really innovative and effective plan. So to that, I wanted to ask some questions in regards to the recommendations that staff was making. And certainly these questions are for staff, but also for Luis and Matt and others who may want to speak to the need for more specifics. And I want to say that I think that this is true for both of the plans that we've heard so far. I think that we should say that we're grateful to the committees that have stepped forward early in this process, because this has been quick. It's the staff have done a remarkable job of getting organized and getting things going, and everyone on the ground has been doing a great job of coming together. So I don't think anyone expected this would be completely well detailed, but I think we all are committed that it will be effective and that we'll see real emission reductions. So I think that I'm interested in knowing what more we can include in the plan, or what we can ask for you all to come back in a period of time, in a year, as we're talking about with West Oakland, to talk about how those emission reductions are going forward, how they can be quantified, because I note in the plan that it's difficult to measure those. But I think we're all committed to seeing those reductions so that the community receives the benefits of emission reduction. So I guess I'd want to hear from all of you, any of you, as to what you'd like to see more emphasis on in terms of reductions. And I see in the plan that obviously PM2.5 and toxic air contaminants are high on the list. Just wanted to hear more from you so that we can support that.
Well, I guess I'll get started. Today I think it's important to acknowledge all the public comments. There is a lot of work still to be done to identify sources. We know that community monitoring isn't the only tool that we have. You know, there's certainly investment. There's never not enough investment, but we are collaborating with the Air District. They're certainly doing, carrying out their own duties to their own obligations as a regulatory agency to help track and identify what other sources are going to be critical to helping us achieve those emissions reductions. And very unique, deliverable of this legislation is tackling from an approach of reducing those emissions in the neighborhood, or what we call fence line. Certainly pesticides are going to be critical contaminant as we identify them as a toxic, as a contaminant that we certainly want to do more studies. I know that the Air District and the Department of Pesticide Regulation had done some initial studies in the past. not so distant past, I would say as early as last year. You know, we like to see those results and see how those help inform us of how they might be affecting the corridor. I think what we need here and what we really are suffering from is the lack of data and information, and we need sophisticated equipment to be put out there and helping us better identify, bring from the shadows how that contaminants are interacting with our communities. I think that the plan that we put before you is a good vehicle to help us get there, helping us break through, I would say, over 100 years of perhaps slanted access and partnerships and collaborations and influence. I think that we needed to do that. We needed to get past this to be able to get into that tier two. So I think it's not a conclusive answer. But other things that I think that are also important to do is obviously as we can continue to hear reinforcement is more resources are necessary. We're ready. We have a level of readiness, as you've acknowledged in the beginning, in the first comments. We are seeing today that there was also a strong representation from Mexicali. We're very enthusiastic of that because no matter what we do here, we're going to have the impacts in Mexicali and vice versa. These are equal responsibilities that we owe to each other. And I'm really enthusiastic of the enormous support that we're seeing in Mexicali, awareness that we're seeing in Mexicali, and we know that we're going to be able to tackle these issues more so than ever before. I like to also acknowledge a program that didn't really get a whole lot of recognition today, and that's the Environmental Justice Program. Without their support, without their contributions to the OCAP and to the community and helping us through some very difficult dialogues, I really truly believe they need more resources, more support, because the demand at a statewide level and all these communities and growing communities that are going to be coming on, they're going to need a lot of support. And they have a very unique quality, very unique skill set. And I think that even meets those comments that were brought forth by the representation from Mexicali. I truly believe that they're an example of what this program needs. I do want to acknowledge OCAP, obviously, and their technical expertise and everything they bring to the table. I think we have a lot more to bring to you in the months ahead. I think we need to do a 6 months check-in and see where we're at that point. Thank you.
Matt, would you like to comment?
Yeah, well, like as Luis stated earlier, and many have stated in their comments in the border area is the low-hanging fruit for many of these projects. But at this time, the border south of the border is outside of the 617 corridor. But the attention that 617, the light that it's brought on, and the similarity in the PM 2.5 workshops, the binational efforts, the Border 2020 combination with those efforts is significant. Through the 617 organization and development, we've already worked on our ag burn policy and upgraded that in conjunction through the 617. There aren't really early emission reduction projects in the 617 documentation, but effectively that kind of was an emission reduction saving that's already taken place. We've also partnered with our 617 steering committee in a parking lot paving project at Calexico High School, even though the funding hasn't come through yet. Those items will be discussed later at the steering committee level. We're looking at leveraging our assets with the state of California, with SEPs, ideally more indoor air filtration projects. We're currently working one at the school in the community of Sealy, California. When we finished one this last year at the Grace Smith School located in the north end of Imperial Valley by the Salton Sea, the community of Nyland. In addition to that, we talk about the similarities or the crossover effects and benefits from the corridor, perhaps expanding the corridor, or our Salton Sea efforts. So we need to really look at that open area regulations that we work on, man-made or not man-made, specifically off-roading, making sure that Salton Sea shoreline that is receding has proper signage and protection so that crust and the good works that get done through these projects don't get destroyed by too much of a robust or or open type of a mindset for off-roading. And the corridor itself, we need to take the same type of a scientific model and look at the soil and emissivity locations. That's the same thing that's been done in and around the Salton Sea area. And take a look again at the off-roading activities that are a blessing to the community that enjoys that. It's America. It's a right. It's a religion to some, but it does need to be done in a smart way to help protect it and save its further activity in the future. And as the population grows and the vehicles get very strong and smart and the availability of vehicles, it's only logical that we have to take some type of a look at that. So that's what I see. I see further indoor air filtration projects, further public benefit paving type projects. I see examination and rule development in the open areas, the off-roading activities that not only are to the west edge of the corridor of El Centro, Heber and El Centro, that thing can go forward in and around the rest of the Imperial Valley to the Salton Sea. We're looking at an enhanced flag program that the Air District and CCV have been so successful with, more of an electronic model, updating it with a marquee system at the schools. Many of the schools don't have the marquees and those type of advantageous devices that other more wealthy incomes have, areas have. So there's many great aspects coming out of this discussion. It isn't just public benefit projects. Mark Barza and I talked earlier today about the idea of getting more electric buses into the corridor through his transit system, leveraging the 617 monies to do that. So there's all these discussions taking place. We're optimistic that the electric bus model, the electrification model, is a more successful and easier model than past models of, say, CNG and other activities.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Oh, sorry, did you want to add, please?
I was just going to say that Matt and Luis obviously covered it very well, and they both referred to that they have sort of two buckets of mm-hmm. strategies of the plan. Tier one, where sort of know what you're working with, getting started right away. Tier two required a little bit more discussion, and I think that's what we're all referring to and continuing to work with the steering committee to identify the specifics of those and then have that report back, and that way identify additional opportunities for further strategies. But I also just wanted to underscore that the plan does have very key and metrics to track all of these strategies. So it provides a really good basis for continuing to work together and track what's going on.
Thanks. Okay. So thank you to all of you for your responses. I just did want to also underscore that I really appreciate the involvement of folks from Mexicali, and I think that you're setting a really good model and one that I hope that on the western end of the border we can continue to emulate in the San Diego-Tijuana region because I think it's really important that we do it across the board. And as this board encourages the federal government to take a stronger role in air quality, I think this will be a good opportunity for us to do that together. So thank you all.
Okay, thanks. Yes.
Yeah, thank you. This reminds me really what a wise choice this community was in the 617 process. So thank you for putting yourselves forward and your flexibility in modifying things along the way and the proposal you've put forward. You're clearly not afraid of challenges, developing new collaborations, amplifying voices that have needed amplifying, have not been heard so well in the past, being able to build bridges across what clearly there's been some mistrust in the past. Language matters, and one of the things I was struck by on the tour was really the respect which people had for all of the folks in the process they had worked with, obviously encouraging for the future, and your wonderful tour guides to add. So thank you for that. You know, I would just observe it's always good to state the health benefits. It's always good to have health in the forefront. That ultimately is why we're all in this. It's why I, as a physician, became concerned and interested, seeing horrible childhood asthma rates in my practice, seeing adults with lung disease who had... Why did they have lung disease? What had happened in their lives? Well, apparently it was the air quality that they were exposed to that had led to them having these problems. And the cardiac-related deaths that... very hard to pin air quality directly on, but clearly the science was telling us air quality had a huge impact. And so it's why it's so important in your Tier 1 work you've identified diesel engines in terms of school buses and the very susceptible childhood population. Ag burning, as we think about black carbon, particulate matter. So although these may seem like small contributions, they're absolutely important contributions, and really lead, I think, to more success in the future. And that was mentioned, the Tier 1, the Tier 2. Yes, makes a lot of sense, because some wonderful bridges have been built, some wonderful collaboration. And Tier 2, yes, much more ambitious, both in terms of effort and in terms of the challenges of the collaboration, the folks who need to come together at the table to make those work. But, you know, a general plan, that's the nexus of transit, housing, jobs. I mean, that really is air quality. But that's a much bigger challenge. But the port of entry traffic, very important, yeah. And but reaching across the border. Yes, it's not a 617 community, but I have been reminded through the discussion and being on the tour, many if not of the people who are not in the 617 community, they share absolutely the same goals. So there is a great opportunity here, the same goals, the same concerns. So again, thank you all for your many, 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 many hours of effort, and I'm sure... heartburn getting to this point. And again, I think what a great choice of community.
Thank you. First, I want to say thank you to this community. You have made us feel so welcome here, such a gracious receptance of us. And so I thank you for that. I want to also say that the tours were really wonderful. I've never been in this area before, and so it really was a wonderful introduction to what is here, both from the air and then from the bus tours. It was really quite an informative excursion that we had this morning. What I've noticed here is that how unique the area is. And we have a number of 617 communities, but each one of them is unique. And so this was the first rural area that I have visited. We will visit some in the Central Valley as well. And the problems that you face in a rural area are somewhat different. But your problems are really unique in just in the way you're situated. You're right on a border with the issues that you have across the border and the difficulties that we have to control what happens on the other side of the border. But one of the things that I think is very promising is the fact that you're seeing Mexicali is interested in what we're doing here. And I think that there's opportunities in that. As you develop your plans, Mexicali can look at what you're doing and perhaps use some of the measures that you decide to implement. I don't know how easy it is to collaborate across the border, but it's almost like you're one city. People that live in Mexicali work here. Some of them bring their kids over here to go to school, and there's a lot of industry on the other side, so some people on this side may be working on the other side. So there is certainly an opportunity for collaboration, and we know the air knows no borders, so I think that I hope that you will keep working on that as we develop your 617 plans and implement this. Funding is always an issue. And we knew when we did 617 that we didn't have a dedicated funding stream. So we will just keep working on that because we know that there certainly is a need. As we visit our communities, we see a great need for additional funding and additional help. My colleague mentioned the health aspect. And from my previous experience with Coachella Valley, I know that asthma is a tremendous problem in these communities, and that's primarily probably because of PM2.5. But what you're doing in your schools is a good approach, I think. The flag system is very good, and you have a person dedicated to the school system. She was on the bus tour. Esther was on the bus tour with us today, so that's a very good step forward. Yeah, I know that Mr. Almeida mentioned the need for more data as we're working on improving the air quality here. And I'm wondering whether the staff at the Air District, as well as at CARB's, our CARB staff, could be useful to the 617 region in helping them get that data. Perhaps you might be able to address that, some of our staff people.
Sure. We actually have been developing a very strong collaboration between CARB, the Air District, and Comité Cívico so that we can work together to look at how we bring together the regulatory monitoring that CARB and the district do, as well as the community-based monitoring. And together, they really are starting to bring a great wealth of data to the region. And we're actually learning a lot from the kinds of information that we're getting from each other that actually are helping improve both of us improve our monitoring. The Community Air Grant Program has been another great resource, too, for bringing additional data to this region. So I think that's going to be really important going forward. And as we learn more from the data, I think that also helps identify what additional strategies might be to benefit the region.
And I also want to mention that Coachella, the northern part of the Salton Sea, has been accepted into the program for next year, the 617 program. And so I think it brings the two ends together, the northern part of the Salton Sea and the southern part, to also learn from each other. And hopefully you will be communicating between the two 617 communities because there is a relationship there. So thank you so much for the work you're doing. I was surprised that some of you had not ever come together before to speak with one another. And so I think this is one of the great values of the 617 program. We ask everybody to come to the table, whether they're in environmental EJ communities, whether they're regulators, whether they're industry people, just community members, government leaders, we ask you all to come to the table and start talking. And that has happened here. And I think it brings great promise to your area. Thank you for all you've done. Yes.
Yeah, so we call it Imperial County, or Valle de Imperial. But the air basin is called and known as the Salton Sea Air Basin. Mm-hmm. So key, you know. And Luis and I have talked about this many times. We're just talking right now. We believe that Salton Sea Air Basin is continuous. It's the Coachella Valley, the Imperial Valley, and the Mexicali Valley.
Thank you. I also want to thank everybody for participating in this process. When we had the concept of hotspots way back when, a few years ago, even before there was legislation, this was absolutely one of those places that we were thinking of. And so it's very fulfilling to have gone through the process to do the legislation, to create the program, to pick the places, and to be back in a place where we knew all along we were going to be. There just isn't any doubt that this is one of the places that needs to have this targeted, unique approach to cleaning up the air. I want to emphasize what I do in Sacramento every time this comes up. This is absolutely unique. There is no program like this on the planet. And so California is out there. We're not pretending that we know it all because it's never been done. And so we're going to learn as we go along. We're going to learn not just from this 617 community, but we're going to learn from other ones too. And so anything we learn at any of those other places that is useful in this community, we're going to share with you, and vice versa. So I called it a sampler platter when we passed it initially, the 10 communities. And so all 10 are going to be learning from each other, and we're watching it all. Our great staff is watching it all, monitoring it all, helping everything along, but also thinking, when I was briefed for this meeting, I said, what are the initiatives? What are the things that they're doing that other places are not doing? Because we need to keep track of that so that we're sharing and learning and making progress on all of them as fast as possible. So I'm very excited about this. I want to thank Assemblymember Garcia for all of his hard work for taking that concept of hotspots and turning it into legislation, and then being there every step of the way when we need something, whether it's money in the budget or when we're not sure about how we should be approaching something. We're checking in with Eddie, and he is being very, very helpful. And in terms of the Mexicali piece, last year at some point we were talking about something completely different, and there was a representative from Mexicali there, and we made it clear, the board made it clear, that we want to work with the government entities on the other side of the border to see how we can help them with technical advice, other things that can help them improve what they're doing. We're just letting them know what can be done, and then they decide for themselves. But that's a very important piece of this as well. That has nothing to do with 617. It will benefit 617 communities, but it's a bigger picture that we are neighbors and we need to be working together. California and Baja California Norte have to work together because of the flow of people, pollution, water, everything that goes across those borders. So that is a commitment that CARB has had outside of 617 that will be brought into 617. Thank you.
Well, I do want to also join the chorus of thank you so much for making us feel welcome. I've really had a great day today because I've had two very fun things. First of all, coming here and really learning about an entire new region. It's also my first visit, and it was really quite amazing. I did both the bus tour and the flight tour, and I think all day I was just going, wow. For a couple of reasons. One, being able to see this amazing valley, but more so the people. Meeting the people, the businesses, the community leaders, your staff, Matt, it really is very impressive. And I know how difficult it is to bring people together that might not feel that they have a lot in common. But what you've done is you have shown each other that you do have a lot in common. And it is impressive. I've spoken to Luis a couple of times, and I'm very, very encouraged after today, too. I'd be remiss if I didn't share with you my other excitement, because I did welcome my eighth grandchild this morning, and right before I got onto the bus, my son and daughter-in-law had a very healthy baby boy, and it reminded me with all the conversations that I had, this is why many of us are here, is for our children and grandchildren. And so I'm with you all the way. I'd like to make just a couple of observations as well. I really did appreciate that we're trying to change the culture everywhere. we're really trying to go from understanding and wanting to make change to making commitments to do that. And I do understand that it's difficult when we have a history of poor implementation or poor follow-up. And what does that mean to people? And so I just applaud that this group has identified that and made a commitment along with CARB to change that record. And so I'm excited about that. When we talk about needing more resources, because everybody needs more resources. I mean, if you ask your kids, for those of you that still have kids at home, they always need more, you know. And so I was wondering if we prioritize that and actually put it in the plan. Are we doing that on these plans, identifying how specifically what we would need in resources and prioritize? It's so much easier for people that are leadership that is going after more money if they have specifics, I would think. If we had X amount more money, this is what we would be doing with it. And so I would just encourage, I encouraged Oakland to do the same, and I would just encourage you to do the same too. Start detailing and quantifying that so we can help you in that pursuit. And then the last thing I wanted to just tail back on Mr. Alatorre's comment is, how are we putting together these best practices? And have we thought about that system and that mechanism from now that we're on community number two and we're going to be going to hear next month? How are we putting together these best practices? Because it's amazing how the different things that are being done here, and how are we going to do that?
So looking at a couple of different mechanisms, actually one of the things that you see we're doing as part of the staff reports and the staff presentations is identifying key strengths of the programs, because we really do see that those start to serve as best practices. As we go forward, we're looking for a lot of different opportunities to both collect them but share them with people. We have our consultation group, which we think is a really good mechanism, and they'll be meeting in the next month. We also have a convening that's going to happen at the beginning next month of many of the steering committee members across the state so that they can also help us identify what they've seen as the best practices. And then what we need to do is, one, get that information out there, whether it's through our resource center. But as we go into each new community and working with the air districts and doing training on the blueprint, sharing what those best practices are, I think, are really important to get everybody off on the best foot.
That sounds great. I think I'd be remiss, as I think one of the things I believe so strongly in as a business owner myself and also in a 617 community, it is so important and was very gratifying to see business on the tour today. And I think those sources, they're right in the backyards often of people. We need to be out there as business leaders and be at the table and be part of the solution. And so, again, congratulations, and we look forward to a lot more great things. Thanks.
Okay, I'm going to skip myself and move on.
All right. I'm just delighted to be here today and express my gratitude for such a wonderful tour. It was filled with information. It was a very thoughtful tour that we got to partake of, and so I say thank you very much. One of the things that I clearly hear and understand is how important it is to work with our neighbors. And I don't know if this is a little premature, and Mr. Corey, I don't want to put you on the spot, but there are things that maybe we could do as a state agency to reach across that border to work with. I don't know what the framework of their environmental improvement government is, but what could we do? Or, and I know things have already been done to reach across the border, but what could we do? Because if you begin to look at the pollution that's generated, so much is generated over there that impacts you over here, and we've got to take note of that. So, Mr. Corey, could you answer that? Or
yes, Ms. Rudin, an outcome of this discussion and this effort, part of this has been, as you noted, there have been a number of government-to-government engagement over the years, but it's building on that as part of it. But a key part of it, and Luis touched on this, is, in fact, we're reaching out to Luis on this in terms of monitoring and community engagement and the work that Veronica and her team has been doing. And as a result of that, as well as an MOU that the administration, the governor, signed last month, actually, in terms of the Californias, so the state of Baja, state of Baja Sur, and California, to really strengthen that engagement. And this is a multimedia element, but I think what is changing, and really we are at the beginning of this process, is there certainly has been government to government. The city of Mexicali and the national government, it's been the community engagement that really has not been strong. And I think part of, I probably say about the same elements that we're learning from 617. So from an action item standpoint, mm-hmm. part of it's implementing that MOU. Part of it is me, frankly, looking to Luis for some help in terms of the contacts and relationships that he has, building on the inventory, building on best practices, and some elements that have worked, what hasn't worked, what are the key elements of concern, as well as the point that's been made about data and monitoring, which, for instance, there's already monitoring beginning on the Mexico side. Luis has been directly involved in, as well as building on the enforcement. So we see a path, really an opportunity to build on and strengthen those relationships with the communities on the other side of the border.
Thank you, and I encourage you and I encourage the locals to continue to reach out, because that is really going to be the way to solve a number of your issues in terms of pollution. So thank you very much. It's a challenge, that's for sure, but I think you're up to it. I really do. Thank you.
First, Luis, thanks to you and your colleagues for hosting us this morning in the tour. I think the tour really allowed us to see the face of pollution here. And I come from Richmond. I live and represent both on the Board of Supervisors and as an Air District member, the city of Richmond, which is also an AB 617 community. The difference is the face of pollution there are chemical plants, oil refineries, rail, ports. Here you have some of the same things, but also some very different faces of pollution. And I think what we appreciate and learn is while the face of pollution looks different around the state, it has the same negative health impacts. So while we talk about everything's unique, what's not unique is the negative health implications from having this type of pollution. And what's also, I think, common is while the people at the table and the communities are different, that the community leaders have the same passion, the same drive, the same talents to advocate on behalf of their communities. So thank you, Luis, to you and the folks at the comité and others in the community in really leading this effort. And I think I don't need to tell you that you know the hard work is actually still ahead. And I think our role as a state air board working with the local air district is to help translate this plan into reality. Because, and I said this in West Oakland, and I say it in my own community where I live in Richmond, these plans don't mean anything if there's not the community and the partners in government working together to translate this into action, into real-life tangible benefits for everybody here. So thank you for opening up your community to us. And it's an honor to be able to approve this plan, but it'll be I think even more gratifying and satisfying to help translate and make this plan improve the lives of people who live here in Imperial in the Imperial Valley.
You need to turn on the microphone.
There you go. Thank you. That helps. Just a couple of comments. First and foremost, thank you to the community. As most of you, some of you may know, I think Luis knows, and I come from Shafter, California. I think we're going to have a repeat of this, and I just look at this audience, and I'm wondering if this isn't more people than that are in Shafter. There's so many people here, and it's an amazing tribute to, I think, the community to spend a night and really delve deep into this conversation about air pollution and air monitoring and AB 617. You don't see this much in rural communities, I can tell you that. So it's a tribute, I think, to the community and to what you guys have built here. Congratulations. This kind of discussion and unity and just the word sometimes when you kind of mention it in passing, but if you're in any other rural community and you say Agburn, you know, it normally brings people in a divided way to a conversation, and I'm very appreciative of what you've done here in this community. It's very reflective of, if you will, the rural nature, and sometimes we forget because we're so density-driven, particularly in Sacramento, and most of our metrics are driven that way as well, that a single face, a single opportunity for someone to say, please clean the air, please focus on pollution. Climate change, in some sense, is important, but it's kind of, I always say, what's a subset of what? It seems like this community really feels that we could have a very large impact, so I want to congratulate people here in the community. I would say that there's a lot of work to be done. I remember sitting in a really shiny city of San Francisco with Eduardo Garcia when the governor was signing two sets of bills. And I always thought, are we ever going to end up in these communities, this byproduct of this agreement? And it makes me feel good. I want to thank an assembly member. This is exactly what you said was going to occur. It actually is occurring. You're here. You'll be in the Central Valley. You'll be in places that the Air Board normally doesn't go to. And I think it's fantastic that you are keeping this board and others on task and making sure that the community is being heard, that the funds continue to flow. And then the only thing I would say to our governor, our current governor, is that we need more money for these types of endeavors. 617 was a beginning. It certainly isn't an end. And we need the funds to continue to make the program robust. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this is a $2 to $3 to $4 billion endeavor. This is not a one-time drop. This is not something that we can look at and in some sense say, maybe not as important. And that can happen unless the communities come together like this. I just want to make this last point, and that is until communities come together and really let their government know that these are important programs, things can disappear. You know, I was a little disappointed that our, you know, program that did the climate change communities was zeroed out in some sense. You know, there are programs that were not fully funded in our budget. So I just hope that we can continue to beat that drum to make sure that Sacramento continues. And I know Assemblyman is going to work hard, and I know that we have advocates there, but you know, we also have to do our part from a community. So I want to thank the community for building that type of support, and I think we just have to keep this going. So thank you. Very, very, very impressive.
Okay. Well, I want to start to our chair and staff and say as much as Sacramento is a wonderful place to visit, it's really nice to get out and to be in the community and to have a hearing in the actual community, which is easier for folks to participate in and to hear and give you a chance to see it directly. As a county supervisor, I also, in that capacity, represent a 617 community in San Diego, a community where one part of my district has asthma at 8 times the rate of another part. A community where there's a 10-year disparity in life expectancy between a child born in two parts of one supervisorial district. And I know how important these issues are because we see them every day. And I appreciate the engagement of the community and the advocacy of the community and the fighting for what you're doing. And I will tell you that you have a great representative, whether we're here or in Sacramento. You have a great member of the assembly and Assemblymember Garcia, who really cares deeply and makes sure that the concerns of regions of the state are not forgotten, and your community is certainly not forgotten. We also share in San Diego similarities in issues of border crossing and the pollution associated with that, both in the air issues in the crossing, but also in the water crossing. You have your New River challenges here. We have our Tijuana River Valley issues here, there. And so just know that there are a lot of folks very committed to continue to advocate. And so keep doing the work that you're doing and keep pushing, because it really is a testament to the intent and the spirit of 617. And we will continue to advocate for more funding and for more money and more ongoing services. And so it's wonderful to be here with you this evening. And thank you all for what you do when there aren't big crowds and lots of people, that the daily grind work that you do.
Thank you, Chair. I know there's someone in the audience saying, when are they going to make a motion on this? When are they going to
start? I was going to let you do that.
There's someone out there, and I'll make that motion if I can. But I do want to just conclude my comments on the issue of equity. I think it's fair to say that in Imperial County, we're beginning to see that Sacramento's paying attention to the issues of our region. Just the Air Resources Board efforts alone, I think, speaks for that point. But the issue of equity isn't so much that we're all starting from a equal playing field, because we're not. We're not starting from an equal playing field. And so I'd like to make the case to you, Madam Chair, and board members, that we utilize our climate investment dollars in a way in which we can double down and make up for, you know, the lack of investments via our climate dollar investment efforts. 617 is one example. You know, our green space, poor park community programs through our climate investment dollars is another. Of course, we're talking about air quality related to Salton Sea, the new river. All of these environmental justice pollution issues got to receive an equitable amount of attention, and that also means an equitable amount of investment to these hotspot areas. I also would like for us to consider some public policy that could assist these border regions dealing with these daytime populations that bring an additional burden on all of these environmental elements that we just mentioned and that we're talking about here today. Policy that will consider the 50,000, 70,000 individuals crossing the border every single day. And I'd like to get our heads together to see if there's something that could be initiated through this conversation to ensure that there is equitable investments coming this way when it comes to these programs that we're referring to. I'd like to conclude, and I'll say a few words in Spanish, by saying how important this relationship is with our friends on the other side of the border. Just the simple fact that we have both citizens and those working specifically with organizations and governmental entities here from Mexicali demonstrates the willingness that exists. The partnerships have been there. The dialogues have taken place. The real issue is, can we develop the plan of action, enforcement, follow through, and really see those tangible outcomes of reducing emissions, improving the air quality in this overall basin? I think that's very possible, but that's going to require also executive levels of our government at the state level and at the Mexican government level to take its course. An example is the air quality issues when it comes to the ag burning issue in Mexicali are federal government issues in Mexico. And so we need that type of interference to play a role. When we're talking about the new river pollution issues here, we're talking about state agency issues in the Mexican side of the border. And so we need, again, a higher level of effort to be underway, and we need our executive officer, like our governor, to also help us initiate those conversations. I'll conclude with saying that, again, grateful for all of you being here today, the time that's gone into the plan that's been developed by the community and for the community. That was at the core of AB 617, that this be a community-driven effort, and it's turned out to be the case, and we will not detract ourselves from that mission with this policy. En español quería dar las gracias a nuestros amigos que vienen de Mexicali. Estamos muy agradecidos por el empeño que enseñan de tratar de corregir estos problemas que existen ambientales, específicamente el tema de la calidad del aire. Ustedes involucrados es de gran importancia, pero lo que necesitamos también es los gobiernos municipales, estatales y gobierno federal que apoyen estos esfuerzos colaborativos con el estado de California, que está tratando de mejorar las circunstancias del ambiente aquí en la región de la frontera. El diálogo existe, las reuniones se han tomado a cabo, La foto del recuerdo están en todos los Facebooks de cada político que asiste a esas juntas, pero los planes de acción y los recursos para darle seguimiento muchas veces no es lo que ocurre. Entonces es un comentario para impulsar ese interés más allá, simplemente decir que estamos comprometidos de tratar de corregir el problema en una manera colaborativa, pero agradecidos que están aquí, agradecidos que están involucrados en ese esfuerzo y vamos a darle adelante. Estamos nosotros comprometidos como representante de esta región fronteriza y como hijo de padres mexicanos, mexicalenses, que nos interesa el bienestar y la salud pública de los residentes del Valle Imperial como los residentes de Mexicali. Gracias por estar aquí. And again, thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity to say a few words.
Well, thank you. I made a mistake earlier because although he does an amazing job as our liaison with the legislature, the Assemblymember Garcia is actually not able to make a resolution on this particular on this particular item, and so I am going to instead ask Mrs. Takvorian to move and Supervisor Fletcher to second resolution 20-01. And since I know they've both done that, we will take a vote.
So done. So, moved, Madam Chair. Thank you.
But before we do that, I want to add a couple of thoughts of my own in the closing here. I suppose everything that can be said actually has been said, but I think there's one thing that maybe hasn't quite been articulated in this way. And that is that the participation of all of the people who are here today, and especially those who have done the hard work to get us to this plan that we're about to approve, truly takes courage. It takes skill and it takes work, but it also takes courage to overcome the cynicism that all of us at times are prone to about whether something like this can possibly work. We all have experience and all have history with attempts to overcome stubborn, persistent problems that haven't worked. And I think the difference that we're seeing here is the recognition by individuals that this is something that is worthy of their effort and attention and willingness to put themselves out there on the line to really engage and to build the relationships that are necessary. I'm hoping, and for my part, I would like to say on behalf of our agency, Air Resources Board, and I think on behalf of the entire administration, that the commitment is there to continue to be here, to continue to come, to show up, and to support the progress that you all are making. So I think that this is really, it is a remarkable day and a remarkable historic process that we're involved in. And with that, I'd like to call the question. So would all those in favor of adopting Resolution 20-01, approving the plan, would you please say aye? Aye. Are there any opposed? Are there any abstentions? All right. Thank you, and congratulations to all. Si se puede, right. And now, this is not the end of the board meeting, because at every board meeting we have an open comment period where people can address us on matters that were not specifically part of the agenda, and we have quite a few who have signed up. So let's get to it. There's a time limit for speaking, but Ms. Price, I guess, is not with us. So is Mr. Hamby here?
Good evening. My name is J.B. Hamby, and I'm a lifelong resident of the Imperial Valley. Thank you for visiting our valley. We're often much publicized, yet rarely do state and federal representatives visit our valley, and even more rarely do we see action, or even more rarely than that, promises kept. I'm hopeful that your board may work to be the difference that our community and our environment needs and deserves. Imperial Valley is much noted for our water. After all, we enjoy the single largest entitlement of the Colorado River system and put it to good use here. But equally as important is the critical tie between water and air in this valley. Imperial Valley is also the most geographically distant county from Sacramento in California, and we're helpless to air quality hazards critically tied to water that are entirely outside of our control. The Salton Sea is shrinking as water leaves our valley to primarily irrigate landscaping to sustain grass and palm trees along the coastal plain, and as a result, expose toxic dust into our air. The contaminated New River, which feeds the Salton Sea, carries with it sewage, chemical, and industrial waste that, once deposited into the Salton Sea, recedes and toxic playa blows. Imperial County already has the highest childhood asthma hospitalization rate in California, and too many residents of our valley, including myself, are forced to carry an inhaler for the rest of their lives. When we talk about marginalized communities or the need for social justice in California, no community fits the bill better than the residents of the Imperial Valley. Very simply, the residents of this community currently are expected to sit patiently as they suffer the consequences of thirsty, unlimited growth across Southern California and heavily polluting industrial development just miles south of us here in Mexico. All I ask as a fourth-generation member of this community is that we can enjoy the same protections as everyone else in this state and nation to ensure clean air and clean water, that Imperial County should enjoy the same concern as Marin County, Niland as Napa, Brawley as Beverly Hills, Calexico as Calabasas. And perhaps more so than any other community in this state, we understand the elements. All I ask of your board as you fly back to Sacramento and breathe in the fresh air in the city of trees is that one day we might too enjoy a breath of fresh air too. Thank you very much.
Good evening. Thank you for being here. I am a full-time professor at the University of Baja California. Sharing my time, I am the leader in the Comité Ciudadano of Medio Ambiente.
Estamos trabajando con el Comité Cívico.
We are working together with Comité Cívico.
Quiero agradecer a Luis Olmedo por todas las ideas y leyes que necesitamos implementar en Mexicali.
I want to thank Luis Olmedo for all of the ideas and laws that we would like to implement in the city of Mexicali.
Hemos involucrado a más ciudadanos en esta lucha por el medio ambiente.
We have involved more and more citizens in this fight for the environment.
Cada año vemos que fallece y se enferma más gente.
Each year we see that more people die and get ill.
Necesitamos esforzarnos en conjunto con el Comité Cívico.
We need to strengthen ourselves in combination with el Comité Cívico.
El Valle Imperial y Mexicali es un solo valle.
Imperial Valley and Mexicali is one whole valley.
Tenemos que señalar los agentes contaminantes.
We have to outline the contaminant agents.
Hay que presionar a las autoridades para que hagan su tarea.
We have to pressure the authorities for them to complete their task.
La comunidad tiene que aprender a cuidarse por sí sola.
The community has to learn to take care of itself.
Porque hemos visto que las autoridades no hacen nada.
Because we have seen that the authorities do not do anything.
Quiero agradecer nuevamente la invitación al Comité Cívico.
I want to thank again the invitation to the Comité Cívico.
Hemos tenido varias reuniones con el comité y vamos a seguir trabajando con ellos.
We have had many meetings with the committee and we're going to keep working with them.
Quiero que nos apoyen porque el Valle de Mexicali y el Valle Imperial tenemos mucho que ofrecer.
I want for them to support us because we have a lot to offer in the Valley of Mexicali and Imperial Valley.
Nuevamente, muchas gracias por estar aquí. Buenas noches.
Again, thank you very much for being here, and good evening.
Good evening. My name is Mireya Diaz. I'm a community member here in Imperial Valley, and I am also have had the privilege and the challenge to sit on the steering committee for the AB 6117. And first of all, I would like to share with you just the phenomenal job that our co-chairs have been doing in leading this group into tackling a very challenging and difficult task in such a short period of time. And I would also like to, you know, thank CARB staff for always being there in the background to show us support and to give us encouragement to not stay silent. And as a community member, I don't stay silent. I think it's incredibly important that our voices are heard not only at the local level, but at the state level. We have learned many lessons. Some of them have been very hard. We haven't always agreed, but we have never lost sight of why we came together or we were asked to come together. And tonight I'm very proud that this was passed, so thank you for that. And also to encourage our local leaders and government leaders to come and support us during our AB 617 meetings that we hold, and not to just show up for a photo op when our state board comes down to present, which has been fabulous, so thank you. And I would like to encourage our local leaders to also take the example that you're setting tonight by being here, taking time out of your busy schedules and your life to support our community. And by our community, I mean it's been my adopted home, or they've adopted me as of 10 years ago. And it's been fabulous to see not only the cultural change, but also the change from, oh, it's the way it's always been done mentality, to seeing the challenge, the problems, and turning them into opportunities. And that's what we're doing here. And it's amazing to see the possibilities, or I love possibilities because anything can happen, and it's possible because we really want it. So I encourage the board to continue supporting us. Don't be strangers in our little hometown. We love to have you. We love to be heard, to be listened. And for also, if you're asking for this information, you're asking for that data, don't just file it away. Do something with it. You know, people who know me, I say that to everyone. If you're asking something of me, don't just put it away and say, oh, thank you, that was a great comment. Put it to use. And then I would also like to encourage CARB to bring in our youth, you know, target our youth, because I'm here today, my children are here today, they're the ones who are going to be living in this community, educating this community in the future. They are the ones who we need to be invested to continue this work that's just being started, so they can continue it on for future generations. So thank you.
Good evening. I'm Edie Harmon. I live outside of Ocotillo because the first week I lived in El Centro, I got sprayed with pesticides and got pesticide poisoning. I could no longer live in the valley, so I know what a lot of people are experiencing. And I want to thank Diane Takvorian for being my inspiration for decades. She was one of the first people I went to that was helpful. I want to make a couple of comments. I was on the original air quality monitoring siting committee before the AB 617 committee. So I have some experience with siting, you know, what went into siting the location of monitors. But I want to make a comment that living from Ocotillo, I can see what's happening with air quality in the rest of the county. When there's ag burning, I can see which way the smoke goes when it gets high. I can see all the times that ag burning smoke heads south to Mexicali. And when it comes to paving the parking lot in Ocotillo, I and a number of other people that I've talked with don't see that it was ever a problem compared to off-road vehicle activity or the damage that was done when they put in the wind turbines. And I think that money could have been much better spent buying additional regulatory monitors. Ocotillo is far west of any of the communities in the AB 617 corridor. So I was really surprised to hear that that parking lot was paved as part of the AB 617 project. I also had a concern from going to many of the meetings, hearing discussion about putting air filtration units in the schools. At one point, committee members were asked to select which schools would get the air filtration systems. There wasn't going to be enough for all the schools. But no matter how many schools were to get air filtration systems, that wouldn't change the quality of the air that students are exposed to once they leave school, once they play, once their family members and the communities are exposed to. I think we really need to be concerned with improving outdoor air quality, not just indoor air quality for a small segment of the population. Thank you. And I'm sorry, I can't go to all the AB 617 meetings because I can't read road signs after dark. So if it's in a place I don't know, I can't attend. Thank you.
Lillian Garcia with the National Border Patrol Council. I would like to take the time right now to commend the California Air Resources Board and the Imperial County Air District for the Imperial Mexicali Air Quality Task Force Binational Work Group. I kind of felt like if we got sidetracked a little bit with the 617 is about the U.S. side, and I heard comments about Mexico. So I don't know, no one mentioned the Binational Work Group, which right now there's 50 purple air monitors that have helped us basically see where the pollution is coming from, if Calexico is polluting Mexicali or if Mexicali is polluting Calexico. So it's been a great help for our agents to know what's coming their way. Another thing I would like to mention, too, is I would like to commend you guys for the Salton Sea Work Group. As all of you know, there has been no monitoring out there, regulatory monitor. So this, we're excited about it, and we also like to recommend some purple air out there, some hydrogen sulfide monitoring, too, and also for the New River. Thank you for your time.
Good evening, Madam Chair and all the chair members. My name is Pablo Chi. I'm from the Comité Cívico Ambiental de Mexicali. I would like to thank all of you for your time, for your efforts in coming to this side close to our border with Mexicali. Following Luis Olmedo's information and all his input, we managed to create the Comité Cívico Ambiental in Mexicali with around 15 different organizations that are working together with the government, both in the city government and the state government, also federal government. I would like to propose that if you can and if you want to create a binational agreement or a binational meeting, we can actually do that in conjunction with you so we can start doing actions as the United Nations has talked about. This is the decade of actions. We've been monitoring Mexicali with all your help, with CARBs, donations, with all the sensors. We've been doing a lot of work with the schools, with the EPA program. Yesterday we donated 12 more EPA flag programs to different schools. We already have 62 schools in Mexicali. We know we have 1,200 schools that we need to attend. And we have a lot of areas in Mexicali that we need to measure. But measuring is not the only thing that we need to do. We need to start doing actions in Mexicali. There's a lot of work that we've been doing with the government. We've been doing extensive analysis of all the drainage system in Mexicali that goes to the New River. There's 130 kilometers that we need to start cleaning. And we're working with several organizations, both in the government, but also the non-government, all the civic civilians that are behind. There's a lot of organizations that are behind me, and I applaud all their work because they've been working for more than 10 years in the issue. And we need to start doing actions. I hope that we can work together. I take Mr. Garcia's comments. This is a binational issue. We cannot do it alone, not in Mexico, not in the U.S., not the civil part, but we need to work all together in this environment issues. Thank you so much for your time.
Buenas tardes. Vengo representando a comités y miembros de la ciudadanía tanto de Mexicali como del Valle Imperial. Aprovecho este espacio para repetir lo que he mencionado en varias juntas anteriores durante varios años. De aquí a que sepamos si los proyectos que se planean implementar van a tener resultados positivos, los residentes seguirán pagando las consecuencias. Ya es suficiente. Los residentes que por más de 4 décadas hemos sido afectados por los insalubres niveles de contaminación del aire y hemos sido afectados por las malas decisiones de las autoridades locales, estatales y federales, no tenemos por qué seguir pagando por esos errores. El resultado de esas malas decisiones no solo son los altos índices locales de enfermedades derivadas de la contaminación, tales como alergias, eczema, asma, neumonía, diabetes y cáncer, entre otras, sino hasta la muerte de varios residentes de Imperial, provocada directamente por la contaminación del aire. El 11 de septiembre, en la reunión del AB617, resalté el hecho que Mexicali está siendo líder, en el sentido que la ciudadanía tomó la iniciativa para medir y reportar por su cuenta la calidad del aire, desde puntos estratégicos elegidos en base a fundamentos científicos. Más aún, la comunidad misma está siendo líder, ya que 300 ciudadanos y 10 instituciones tomaron la iniciativa de contribuir de manera directa e inmediata a reducir los niveles de contaminantes a través de una red de purificadores del aire exterior ambiental, conocidos como pulmones urbanos. En repetidas ocasiones he presentado ante autoridades binacionales, locales, estatales y federales, así como ante distintas organizaciones comunitarias, las pruebas científicas, testimoniales que demuestran una disminución real en la cantidad de partículas suspendidas en el aire de la ciudad, a partir de la instalación comunitaria de la red de pulmones urbanos. Sin embargo, hasta la fecha, ninguna agencia o grupo social se ha interesado en los únicos purificadores del medio ambiente exterior que están teniendo efectos reales en disminuir los niveles del aire contaminado. Esa diferencia absurda parece ser un indicativo de que en realidad el interés de cada una de las agencias y asociaciones mencionadas no es reducir la contaminación del aire, sino seguir lucrando con el problema. Con 40 años de padecer injusticia ambiental en Imperial y de conocer perfectamente las principales fuentes de contaminación locales, ya no es necesario seguir invirtiendo millones y millones de dólares en más monitores de calidad del aire. Sin ningún monitor limpia el aire.
Okay, we need the translation, but you've used up your time. You can resubmit your testimony in writing. It's
okay,
very long.
Thank you.
Okay, but go ahead and give us a translation, please.
Yeah, I could translate it myself and send it to all of you.
Okay. Want me to do a site translation of the document?
Okay.
Would you like me to do a site translation?
Yes, please.
Thank you, everyone.
More than ever, the community itself has been a leader now that 300 citizens and 10 institutions took the initiative to contribute in a direct and immediate manner to reduce to the contaminant level through the air purification network called as Pulmones Urbanos, Urban Lungs, the translation into English. On various occasions, I have been before by national, local, state, and federal authorities, and as a representative for different community organizations, scientific proof and testimonials that show a decrease in the real quantity of suspended particles in the air of the city, starting from a community facility, the Red de Pulmones Urbanos, interpreter correction for the record. However, up until now, no agency or social group has taken an interest in the only purifiers for the atmosphere that are having real effects in decreasing the levels of contaminated air. This absurd indifference seems to be an indicator that in reality the interest of each one of the agencies, associations mentioned is not to decrease air contamination, however, it is to keep profiting from the problem. With 40 years of going through an environmental injustice and of knowing perfectly well of the main sources of contamination in Imperial Valley, it is not necessary to keep investing millions of dollars in more air monitors, nor in a clean air monitor. Up until today, no efficient local action has been implemented to seek to eliminate the problem as Pulmones Urbanos does. According to the work group draft, to acknowledge the environmental impact in the health of the residents of Imperial of more than 700 ag burns in a two-year period, the most efficient would be to consider to substitute the ag burn practice by sustainable techniques, and to prohibit ag burn practices automatically would reduce concentrations not only in various other contaminants such as PM10, PM2.5, NOx, SO2, VOC, and CO. Mexicali is not contributing to the improvement of air quality. However, it provides 310 collection points that, in the cooperation with the Instituto de Ingeniería and okay. other prestigious universities, to be analyzing the chemical composition of its particulates and gases that are recollected by Pulmones Urbanos, and in this way to inform the citizens that this is what they're breathing on a daily basis. In Mexicali, the network of purple air sensors has recently been established in aid to refute the previous positions.
This really does need to be read, I mean, to be absorbed, the information.
Of course.
And she has written testimony, so if we could just have it, that would
four more
help.
Lines to go, would that be okay?
Do what?
So four more lines to interpret into English. Would you like me to continue?
Yes, please. Okay. Yes, yes, yes.
In a punctual measure, 60 sensors show the air quality in real time throughout the length of the day that are observed through the residents once, time, and again. And it helps to comprehend and to control the improvement in its environment.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Arturo Medina. I'm a resident of Calexico and of the Imperial Valley. And I'm also a teacher at Aurora High School. And I would like to share this chart with you. This chart is provided by one of the monitors I have in my classroom, a purple air monitor. That provides air quality information on a timely manner, I don't know what the proper term is, immediate information. It is very helpful because, as you can see, this past Monday, the pollution levels were very high. They reached up to 166, which is pretty high. If this kind of situation was taking place in San Diego, I'm not sure what would happen over there. But one of the biggest problems here in the valley is the perception that living like this in a polluted, toxic environment is a norm. And that is one of the things that needs to be changed. Last June 12, I believe, we had a meeting at the offices of the Air Pollution Control District This meeting was put together by Mrs. Melgosa and a group of environmentalists from the community. We were there to discuss topics related to this. Since then, we have not. I've reached out to CARV and Cali PA CARV officers, and we have not been invited again to discuss issues that are important to us. And so the problem is this. This was taken at Aurora High School. Aurora High School is located on the west side of Calexico, just a few minutes from the New River. And just there are fields right around the community where ag burning takes place, where if it's windy, all that dust just permeates the whole area. And so there is a flag program that has been in place at Aurora High School, I think, since 2009. Okay, and also at the other schools, including William Moreno, Blanche Charles, and the adult school. The problem is that it's not very effective. Okay, for one thing, people are walking around, including teachers and professionals, are walking around unprotected. Students are the same. Last year, elementary schools, including our school next door, were holding outdoor activities when it was a very, very highly polluted day. I've shared these complaints with many agencies, including state agencies, over and over again. And the problem still is there.
There is a 3-minute time limit for a public comment here. So thank you. I think we
thank you for listening to me. Thank you.
Of course. Got a few others who wanted to speak also. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you for receiving us today. Thanks to Belen Leon for inviting us. My name is Alberto Mejia. From Mexicali, I represent the Respira Air Quality Monitoring Network. With only 1 year of existence in the region, we can testify to the importance of collaboration regardless of borders. With a network of more than 85 sensors monitoring the city of Mexicali and its valley, of which 50 purple air have been launched by CARP, 3 are the state's and city council's normative stations, and some other installed by citizens and civil associations. The rest are low-cost sensors designed and manufactured in Mexico by us. In this year, we have witnessed how our community now has a better understanding of air pollution and is more engaged in this issue. Also, we have seen how our government is more concerned and active implementing prevention and mitigation strategies as we have never seen before. Thanks to the constant communication with CARP and the air quality agencies in the Imperial Valley, we have been able to implement the Air Quality Flag Program in Mexicali with El Comité Cívico Ambiental, delivering more than 60 flag kits at public schools. We are currently in the process of integrating 30 more sensors thanks to the Border 2020, and in the process of designing and building an interactive attraction to educate more than 50,000 children visiting El Sol del Niño Museum with the Imperial County Air Pollution Control District. We are grateful to everyone involved in this effort to create a large collaborative air quality monitoring network for the two valleys, an effort where we all share a common goal, to share information to transform our communities. Thank you.
Good evening. Ryan Kelly, County Board of Supervisors.
I intended to welcome you, but as we can see the time of day, it might be a farewell serenade. But I am extremely happy to have participated today and to spend some time with Chairperson Nichols and to fly with board member sheriffs. It was a good interaction, and I'm glad that you've enjoyed your visit to Imperial County. Those that I haven't met, I represent the area of Imperial County that is the Salton Sea is entirely within my district, and the communities around it I am very well aware of. I do want to acknowledge Matt Desert and Luis Almedo for 617 success. When this was originally brought to the board, it was a collaboration that was unknown if it was going to be a mutually beneficial, and it has turned out that way. And I'd also like to acknowledge Assemblymember Garcia for his support in recognizing the efforts of what is happening here. One thing that has been brought forward to you is the idea of the areas of the Salton Sea and how 617 could play a role in a future envelopment of the communities around the Salton Sea, which is important. As you saw today and what you may see in the near future, the sea is receding faster than one has anticipated or was in the hydrology reports of 2015 or under the SSMP. And the county has taken some actions to bring new attention to that. We are happy and thankful that the agency, the Natural Resources Agency, and the California Environmental Protection Agency have responded with additional monies identified in the governor's proposed budget, and hopefully in a bond successful in next November. We also see some things that have been acknowledged of past activities by the state and some future activities that are being planned and contemplated. The most important thing I'd like to share with you is that even in that letter, and that we know that the Salton Sea is a hazard to us today, and it will be even of a greater hazard to us tomorrow. Thank you.
We still have two more names on our list. Okay. Hi.
Buenas tardes, noches. Mi nombre es Froilán Medina. Yo trabajé la mayor parte de mi vida aquí en los campos de California. Tengo en el Valle Imperial aproximadamente arriba de 40 años viviendo aquí.
Good afternoon. My name is Froilán Medina. I have been working for most of my life here in the fields of Mexicali.
Muchos compañeros tienen diabetes.
Many of my coworkers have diabetes.
Cáncer, asma.
Cancer, asthma.
Y otros no tuvieron tanta suerte, murieron.
And some of them were not so lucky, they died.
Como ustedes saben, el promedio de vida de un campesino aquí en Estados Unidos es de 49 años, y no lo digo yo, lo dice el EPA.
And as you know, the average lifespan of a field worker is 49 years. Of age. I am not saying that. It's the EPA who is saying that.
Todos ustedes hablan muy bonito, por cierto, ¿eh? Muy bonito.
All of you, by the way, speak very eloquently.
Me reuní por primera vez con una organización de aquí en el Valle Imperial hace aproximadamente 4 años.
4 years ago, approximately, I met with an organization here from the Imperial Valley.
Con la intención de mejorar la calidad del aire de California. Y si se puede, ¿por qué no? Mejorar el aire de todo el mundo.
And with the intention of improving the air quality of California, and if not, also the quality of the air of the whole world.
Desafortunadamente me enteré que no existe tal intención.
Unfortunately, I found out that there is no such intention.
¿Por qué? Si se resuelve el problema, no hay fondos.
Why? Because if the problem gets solved, there are no funds.
Y si no hay fondos, no hay salarios. And if, there, no hay salarios, no hay organización.
And if there is no funds, there are no salaries. And if there are no salaries, there is no organization.
Me quejé con la, con Cal EPA.
I filed a complaint before Cal EPA.
Y los del aire control district.
And the people from the air control district.
Me llamaron para pedirme que no envíe más reportes de quemazones a Cal EPA.
And they called me and they told me that I shouldn't file more complaints or reports about burning to Cal EPA.
¿Eso qué les dice?
What does that say to you, that they are working on behalf of the industry?
Aquí sí que se lucra con el dolor ajeno.
And you can see that they are making a profit out of the neighbor's pain.
¿Siguen quemando files? ¿Cuál cambio? ¿Siguen quemando files?
They are still burning fields. Where is the change?
Geotérmicas siguen tirando humo negro.
The geothermal companies are still emitting black smoke.
Los niños y las niñas siguen sangrando.
Boys and girls are still bleeding.
El asma sigue aumentando.
Asthma is increasing.
El cáncer y todas las enfermedades relacionadas con la contaminación siguen aumentando. ¿Cuál cambio?
Cancer,
cancer and all other
diseases are increasing. So what is the use of so many millions? Thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, a good reminder. That concludes the list of witnesses who asked to just address the board on general issues. And so at this point, unless there's any further business to come before us, we will be adjourned. Thank you all very much.